Okay, call to order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasario.
Here.
Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Cusick.
Here.
Mr. Dougherty.
Here.
Ms. Honigner.
Here.
Mr. Murphy.
Here.
Mayor Glutstein.
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we move on, I just want to thank Beth Merkel for filling in for our clerk. So thank you. We really appreciate that. So now we need approval of previous meeting minutes, May 11th.
So move, Dougherty.
Crowley seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasario.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley.
Yes.
Ms. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Honigner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Thank you. And this week is emergency medical services, and I have a proclamation to read for our men and women. Designated the week of May 21st through the 27th, 2023 as Emergency Medical Services Week. Whereas emergency medical services are a vital public service, and whereas the members of the emergency medical service teams are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness and or injury, and whereas emergency medical services have grown to fill a gap, becoming the national healthcare safety net by providing important out-of-hospital care, including preventative medicine, follow-up care, and access to telemedicine. And whereas the emergency medical service system consists of emergency medical responders, emergency medical technicians, advanced emergency medical technicians, paramedics, pre-hospital registered nurses, pre-hospital physician extenders, pre-hospital physicians, dispatchers, firefighters, police officers, educators, administrators, trade members of the public, and other out-of-hospital medical care providers. And whereas the members of the emergency medical service teams, whether career or volunteer, engage in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills. And whereas it is appropriate to recognize the value and accomplishments of emergency medical services providers by designated Emergency Medical Services Week. Now, therefore, I, Loretta Gluckstein, Mayor of Atlantic Highlands Borough in the state of New Jersey, do hereby proclaim the week of May 21st through the 27th, 2023 as Emergency Medical Service Week. So thank you all.
Mayor. You want to walk?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I might just want to stand here and watch it.
Thank you. So for those that don't know me, I'm Lance Huben. Thank you, Mayor. I'm the chief of the Atlantic Highlands First Aid Squad. Bill Mount is the president. 1974, President Gerald Ford declared this as EMS Week. We're actually in business target year 1929 as volunteers here in Atlantic Highlands. And I'm happy to tell you that we are available. We've answered a lot of calls this year. And I brought along the top responders tonight. We have James O'Connor, Zach Brown, Brian Bombs, Marcy Mount, Mike Firth, and who else do we have? Did I miss anybody? Okay. That sounds great. Well, thank you.
And Lance won't say it, but Lance, thank you for everything that you've done this year since you've come back on. And I'll get into the report later, but while you still have the crowd here and while a lot of your members are here, 100% answered calls since April 1st. That's a big turnaround since last year. So thank you.
And
yes.
Just to give you some numbers, we this year are at 167 calls versus approximately 57 a year ago at this time. Everything's been a triple. Training, but two statistics, if I may. Okay. Here's the first statistic. We have 19 members answering up. We put on a lot of new members. We have 19 members at least answering calls. That's why we're 100%. And we cut the time from the dispatch to next to the patient. We call it the patient side. Ballpark, 17 minutes when they were making calls, down to about 7.
Wow.
That's the patient side, on average. So this is all based on what's called image trend through the state of New Jersey. So we're very proud. We're excited. We're enthusiastic. And we're committed. So things have really turned nicely.
Thank you to you and Ann and
yes,
all the members.
And Tim Parker, yep. and these people here. We're getting up
yep.
at 2 in the morning and making the calls.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Okay. We have another proclamation.
We do, and I see that the incoming president of the Junior League of Monmouth County is here. So. This comes to us as a countywide effort and a statewide effort from the Junior Leagues of the state of New Jersey. So this is a proclamation the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands designating the week of May 22nd to 28th, 2023 as Period Poverty Awareness Week. Whereas period supplies are a necessary product each month for millions of people across the country, and whereas national surveys and research studies report that 2 in 5 women and girls struggle to secure enough period supplies to meet their needs each month due to a lack of income, and whereas this lack of period supplies, known as period poverty, can adversely affect the health and well-being of menstruators, and whereas period poverty exacerbates the vicious cycle of poverty by forcing menstruators to withdraw from daily life, lose pay, or miss educational opportunities, and whereas menstruators struggling with period poverty risk infections by using proxy products, such as socks or toilet paper, or not changing products as often as needed. And whereas the people of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey recognize that period poverty is a public health issue and addressing period poverty can lead to economic opportunity for the state's people and communities and improved health for women and girls / menstruators, thus ensuring all people have access to the basic necessities required to thrive and reach their full potential. And whereas Monmouth County, New Jersey is proud to be home to trusted community-based organizations, including the Junior League of Monmouth County, that recognize the importance of period products in ensuring health and providing economic stability, and thus distribute period products through various channels. Now, therefore, I, along with the Mayor and Council of Atlantic Highlands, Councilwoman Lori Hohenleitner, do hereby proclaim the week of May 22nd through May 28th, 2023, as Period Poverty Awareness Week in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. And we thank the aforementioned period supply banks, their staff, volunteers, and donors for their courageous service and encourage the citizens of New Jersey to donate generously to period supply banks, product drives, and those organizations that collect and distribute period products to those struggling with period poverty, so that all of New Jersey's people can thrive and reach their full potential.
Thank you.
Thanks. And just personally, I'm 47 years old, and there's changes going on in my life that have actually kept me from Brian Dougherty, mother of father of daughters, is aware that he had to cover for me at a meeting once because there's no predicting what's going to happen. So, we need to talk about this more, and I really appreciate that all the parents up here are parents of daughters, except John, but he empathizes with his wife. But this is a real issue in our county, and I know the Junior League had Serena DeMasso, when she was our assemblywoman, had put forth this legislation to the assembly, and it's been a really powerful movement, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good.
And now for unfinished business. Ordinance 6-2023, establishing application and fees for film permits. I need a motion and a second to go into public.
Crowley moves.
Cusick seconds.
Okay.
Mayor, will we be able to discuss this before going to public?
Well, we can talk to it about it now also.
Sure.
I mean... But, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right.
So, Mayor, I've expressed concern over the ordinance in the past, and Councilman Crowley and I have discussed this offline multiple times, and, my concerns with the ordinance are nothing personal with John. John, I consider you a friend outside of anything else. And, my concerns with the ordinance is... our town is only so big, right? So when we look at these kind of ordinances that are going to bring in crowds, immediately I get a little concerned. And I think it's great for local businesses, but I don't know how beneficial this ordinance particularly would be to those local businesses. I have concerns with some of the guardrails that are in here and how we protect our business owners, our residents, and our borough itself. And, I know I've tabled this once. I'd be in favor of tabling it again, even though we're at this point of passing it. My concerns are really with the scope of protection, and as nice as it is for Atlantic Highlands to be on the screen and have people out there see our community on film, to me it raises levels of concern that I wish were addressed a little bit tighter in the ordinance itself, right? Limitations on hours of the film each day, limitation in when the production can begin. I would have liked to have seen there reimbursement for businesses, their loss of revenue. I mean, I think that there's going to be businesses that benefit, such as restaurants and coffee shop and maybe the hardware store, but I'm not sure if all the businesses will benefit, right? And I wish there was a more, we could have some more protection in here for all of that. And that's really largely where my concerns fall. I don't know where the public feels or where the rest of the council feels. I know we've passed this to be introduced, but I'm not sure if anyone else on council has any concerns with the ordinance itself.
Did you suggest any amendments to it? Specific amendments or...
Your
offline conversations. I'm not aware of the offline conversations.
Well, John and I discussed. I expressed some of my concerns. We haven't addressed. We haven't made any tweaks, and unfortunately, John and I weren't able to get it together to put these in writing. But as far as where I don't see, I look at this industry as a profitable one. I think back to what Kevin Smith said on air at the last meeting, where he talked about if you're in favor for, having the film crews come in, then this is great. If you're not in favor for all these, people coming in, then leave it as is. But his point was that he would still make the payment, right? Hollywood would still, he would still pay the cost if he wanted to. And I feel almost like we're devaluing or taking away from the value of our beautiful scenic area. I think with productions like Netflix not too far away, I think there's a possibility for more filming, right? Which could be a great thing if you're for that, and could not be if you're not. If we have TV shows that want to film here, what's the extent of that? As far as their time here, I don't see where the limitations are in there unless I'm missing it.
So you're not, I'm just asking what your suggestion is. Mm-hmm. Are you saying just leave it as is at a higher fee?
No, I think we need to put more protections into the community, whether it's a higher insurance policy. You know, I think we have $1 million insurance in there, if I recall, but I looked at like a Red Bank film ordinance. They've got a $1 million for property, and I think I saw like a, what did I see in here? It was like a $3 million, $3 million for property and $1 million for injury, where I feel like this should be more of a comprehensive insurance policy. You know, stuff like that I think would be a little bit more protective within the community. And, you know, speaking with some residents out there, their concerns with privacy and disruption, and I just don't know if we're addressing all that with the ordinance. So I don't know if anybody else feels anything like that or has any concerns.
I can answer everything, but if anybody else wants to jump in first.
Maybe we should hear from the public first. And
sure.
Well, I'd like to hear your...
Well, the one thing I'll say, I'll be brief, and then I can say something afterwards, is the biggest safety valve on all this that's written into this is it has to go through our special events committee. So when I was filming here a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I had to go in front of them, and of course it's our chief of police, it's our fire inspector, it's our harbor master, right? All the key people in town are part of that. So when you come forward with an application, it has to go through that approval, that vetting. And at that point, you know, they're going to get, they get very specific about if there are vehicles, where are they being parked, what hours, where are you shooting. They will determine if you need police protection. If you were going to shut down the street, which most of these productions are not going to do, but if you were, or even if you're shooting, like I was shooting in the park, so I hired a police officer. I just said, we're going to hire it. It wasn't requested of me, but I did. And we were gone before the farmer's market opened that day. So there was really no traffic, but I wanted a police officer there. So, you know, there's a dollar amount, by the way, also that went to our police department to pay for that officer. So that was a benefit to the town that was probably not expected when I was filing the application. So that's the biggest safety valve to prevent what you're talking about, the sort of scenario of like a street being blocked by a vehicle or anything like that. They're very thorough. Even this year with the music festival and the food truck festival, they asked me to get a porta potty. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thought about it. And I'm like, okay, that's what they asked. And so that's the price of doing business. And so we'll do that. So I think there's a lot of protections in place. And it was written that way intentionally so that there was that sort of oversight. So somebody isn't just coming in, writing a check, and then going willy-nilly.
Right. And, you know, John, with what we do with the recreation, with the Halloween festival that we created, we turned it from the parade, you know, I have to go in front of that special events committee every year. So I'm familiar with their process and, you know, the standards that they hold. I just, you know, and I look at someone like yourself, John, I think you'd be incredibly gracious and courteous to our community as a resident and a council member. I just, you know, I don't know where someone, a different production company would be, how they would act. You know, I don't know, you know, where if someone like if a Netflix entity would be as courteous and respectful. So I just, again, this is nothing a person, this is nowhere near a personal issue with you, sir. It's more or less with just making sure that we have protections in place for maybe some residents that aren't so fond. You know, we had a resident at the last meeting that asked for a balance in this and requested a little bit more oversight, and we didn't address that. So that's why I'm acknowledging it now. I wish we could have, you know, put some more of those in place, some of those protections.
Like, the one thing that I recognize, just looking at different towns, is the definitions we have here. We spell everything out, but we don't have the definition of a special events committee. And I think that we need to maybe put that, so like a definition, so we know in the ordinance who is on that special events committee, just so that we have a better
idea. That's by a different ordinance. So the members of the special events committee are already defined.
Okay. Because I've seen different lists that have different people on it that, you know, that are on my list that I get, and I'm like, why is this person on there? And it depends. So I just would, you know, just to make sure that we realize who is on the special events committee. That's all.
Sure. I mean, I've been going in front of special events for 14 years since starting Film One Fest. It's always been the same makeup that I've gone before, but that is a separate ordinance that defines what special events, but special events is listed all throughout this ordinance.
I know that. That's why I think that maybe the language could just make sure.
Right, but the special events committee is, you have one. And the clerk can tell us who's on the committee, but it's already established. So the reference to the special events committee here carries that forward.
Okay, thank you.
And speaking of special events, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, John. You could explain to me if I am. But special events permit needs to be applied 3 days before the request of the shoot date. You know, as you know, the special events committee requires far more time in advance than 3 days or so.
That's only an instance of, let's say you wanted to shoot, let's say special events is meeting on the 10th.
Right.
Well, you couldn't be shooting any earlier than the 13th or 14th. The likelihood of that happening is fairly nil. But let's just say that happened. They're still on the books. You're not going to be putting up signs. There's the special events and the police department do not really want signage going up on a street much before that. Now, the town made a decision with Memorial Day. The signs are up right now for Monday. It's Thursday for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So they're one day in advance. That's the town made that decision. But if you or I were doing an event, we wouldn't be putting signs up more than 3 days in advance.
So, I mean, but so then if let's say the special events committee has an issue with something or they require changes that aren't, you know, what happens with that film crew if they're scheduled to be on
They're going elsewhere, or they're going to ask the special events, can you give us, you know, X number of hours to find a remedy to whatever it is that you, like if they asked for a porta potty and it wasn't in the budget, then they would have to go out and secure a porta potty for whenever they were going to shoot. Mm. That's the same thing for any event. Anybody that comes in here that's got a special event, if the special events committee asks for something specifically, chain link fencing, porta potty, a police officer, then they'll give you the grace to make sure that you can get that together by the day that you're having your event.
Yeah, all right. I don't know why. I just have an issue with lowering these numbers to increase the probability of these productions being attended.
And so the math is simple, right?
Yeah.
So the year, as I said 2 weeks ago, I shot in 22 states last year. And I was in, how do I know this? Google sent me like my history. And I was in 260 cities last year. So in every place that I filmed, I paid no fees. 98% of the country has no fees. So we're in that 2%. And there's a member of the New Jersey Film Commission that'll be speaking shortly. So majority of the country does not, or majority of municipalities do not have fees. And in the one city that I wanted to film in, Santa Barbara, they had a fee and it was exorbitant. It was $500. So we moved it to Solvang and we went 20 miles down the road. If I had my druthers, I would say, let's go back to what we had in 2021, which was there were no fees. In that year, we had four productions that came into town. And it was at that point that the former borough administrator wanted to institute a fee and did put it on the fee schedule. I begged him for him to not do it because I said, we're not going to get any film productions in town once you pass this fee. And guess what? We've had no production. So one production. In 3 years, we had a one-day shoot. And so everybody went away. They went elsewhere where it's free. So what did we lose? I can't talk about what Kevin's production brought in value-wise. I'm sorry. You're going to kill me for repeating myself. I can only talk about my production, which was a week and a half here in town. And we spent, I have the accountant go through it, we spent $26,000 in town, right here, in hotel rooms. Monty's did our catering. My camera crew was in first cup every morning. My art department was at Jaspin's getting nuts, bolts, paints, brushes. And even my wardrobe department went over to the consignment store and they picked up some extra things for wardrobe. So $26,000 in a week and a half's time. I don't know what Kevin spent. I'm imagining probably roughly the same. And I will also say that, you know, we have nothing to lose by this. Like, if the fee had been in place when I was here, you would have made, you know, Kevin was talking about $4,000. That's what he meant, is like the town would have gained $4,000 by my production being here. That's
nothing compared to 26,000. So when there's no production, there's no benefit to any of the businesses. So nothing equals nothing. So when you lower the fee, look, I'm saying even lowering it 150, there's going to be a lot of productions that are going to go this way or that way where it's free. But we make ourselves a little more attractive for production to come here. And the name of the game is you've got Netflix coming in and you've got Lionsgate coming in. Two big studios that are going to be just 10 miles that way and probably 25 miles that way.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about are the crews going to be well behaved, they're New Jerseyites. They're people that are living right in our backyard. They are
New Jerseyans.
You're not going to get bad behavior.
John, I mean,
it's in your own backyard.
We're talking about assumptions here. We're talking about assumptions with that. And listen, I am sure there are plenty of municipalities out there that do things that we don't do or don't do things that we don't do. That's not my concern. My concern is Atlantic.
Well, you had mentioned that you were worried about the conduct of the crew.
Well, yes. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, these Lionsgate and Netflix. I mean, these are big, big productions with plenty of money. Why are we taking money away from the borough to bring them in? If they like our scenery, if they like our harbor, if they like what we have to offer, wouldn't they just pay it?
Well, you're still paying. I have not changed the fee for motion pictures with $5 million budgets and above. Still $500 a day. So I'm not changing that. For television, as you and I have talked about, the budgets have really changed dramatically with streaming.
But television gets me even more concerned, right? Because then that's a much longer production, no? You're filming, you know, multiple series or multiple shows?
No, they move much quicker. If I can do 15 setups in a day, the average motion picture is doing 3 to 5 a day. Mm-hmm. So they grind it out longer. They have one camera. So no, that's not true.
Okay. Well, you know, that was part of my concern as far as I think we discussed this, where you're going to see a benefit in these productions. I may not see the full benefits, right? The $26,000 that you spent was fantastic, and I'm sure the business owners appreciate that very much, and I appreciate that very much as a governing body member. I can't guarantee that every production is going to bring that kind of money in. This is a unionized industry. They have their own catering. They have their own wardrobe. They have most of these bigger productions. They have all that stuff. So how do we know for sure they're going to visit these establishments?
I think we should let it open because we could go back and forth. But
yeah, that's true. Let's let the public see.
Okay,
yeah.
Sir. You have to come up to the middle. Sorry.
Hello. Yeah. So I'm
first, your name and address.
Ed Kenny, 66 8th Avenue. I'll say, first of all, I'm a huge film buff, so there's interest from one point of view, but at the same time, as a resident, I'm concerned. I think the way that it's written, the ordinance seems very broad to me. There's no specification on hours of day, number of days of week, months of the year. I think about a TV show, and I know from a relative that works in the industry, right, there's a lot of quicker setups they can do on TV, but if it's a main character's domain or home, that could be something that can go on for years, where that location that becomes primary, and then it affects residents such as myself. In this town, we have a lot of old homes, and those old homes don't have driveways or garages, because they were built before through garages and driveways. And so I depend on my street parking. I can't have that taken up. I can't have that, you know, just for the beauty of the area, that could be taken away or not be available to me for any period of time. I think about the businesses, and I think a lot of businesses would benefit, but there'd be those that don't benefit because they're blocked from traffic. And because of that, I think that there should be something written in the ordinance that protects those businesses that are affected adversely by the production shooting. So for those reasons, and also I think the infrastructure, I know there's specification around police and electrician, but it only goes that far. I think there's other infrastructure in the town that could get absorbed by productions that will be in this town. And I think that should be accounted for in the ordinance. So just to wrap up, I think the ordinance is too broad the way it's written. There should be more specification around it, and I think it should be tabled.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Jimmy Fisero, 38 Avenue.
John, you and I have had this discussion about this before, and my first question is, how is this not a conflict of interest that he's benefiting his own pocket? He's on council, and he's pushing an ordinance. That's not a conflict of interest?
Mayor, do you want me to respond to that?
Yes, please.
So, the issue of conflict is up to the civic council member. He has disclosed his interest, his decision whether or not to vote and recuse on an issue like this is up to him. If there's a conflict in the end and a court of competent jurisdiction decides that, then it could invalidate the ordinance, but it's up to the council member to decide.
Even though we had people call in to push this, having Karen call at the last meeting, that's not a conflict.
Well, she said it's up to the council member to decide.
And this doesn't benefit a lot of, like you're saying, the hardware store. How is it helping the hardware store?
Sales.
Sales? And
yes.
What about all the people all day long that need to go in and out of there? And
they,
you can't get in, you can't park.
Jimmy, I know you didn't like
this town that utilized lunch, coffee shop, all that. So if they've got to go somewhere else because they can't get in town, it swaps one another. It's not benefiting everybody.
That's a scenario that never has occurred, ever.
So you talk to businesses, they've all made money by going in there.
I know how much we spent, yes, for my production. And so, like you were talking, you didn't
ask.
Jimmy, you
it doesn't profit or it didn't draw away. People couldn't come anymore, so somebody else compensated.
Jimmy,
make it better.
Do you want an answer?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, when we were doing catering, for instance, the restaurant brought food to our location, and so we paid the restaurant local business, and they set it up, and we ate on location, so we weren't taking up tables. Most productions do not go into a restaurant in the middle of the day to go take a meal. They take it on location, and then we bring in our own tables. So I know you had a problem when Kevin was here, and you said you know his production was on the sidewalk, and you didn't like it. I said I drove by. I said I saw you. I said were they blocking your access to the store? And you said no. And I said, well, then what was your problem with it? And you said to me, I just don't like production in town.
That's what I said.
That's a word for word. Word for word.
Word.
Absolutely.
Had nothing to do with you couldn't park anywhere. And now you got to find somewhere you couldn't get into.
They have their own. They have their own parking lot down at the marina, and they use shuttles to come up to First Avenue. Jimmy, I was here at special events, and I saw that they had the special events committee made them park down at the marina. So I know that for a fact, and I saw their 15 pass fan. So you're drawing conclusion. You're painting a picture that didn't exist, Mr. Pizarro. Just didn't exist.
Okay.
Thank you.
And as far as my comments go, John, I want to be clear. This is not personal anything about you, John. There are your production. Mm-hmm. This is what I talk about is just strictly the ordinance. And I hope we understand.
Yes, James Kraft, 77 Bayside Drive. First, I want to mention what I think are a couple of shortfalls in drafting this ordinance. And then I want to talk about some things that I think you want to consider before addressing this. Shortfalls. The definition of major motion picture, any film for which the budget is at least $5 million. What budget are we talking about? Production budget? Total budget? Does that include production and post-production? Does that include advertising? Does that include the script? Does that include the stars, the actors? I think that's rather loosey-goosey. Having been in the accounting industry for close to 50 years, Hollywood accounting was notoriously known as kind of flexible. I think that should be defined more carefully. Second, in the fee section, it talks about when filming entirely from public property. Now, there may be a different reading of that. But to me, that means if somebody films for a couple minutes on private property and then on public property, they're not filming entirely on public property. So I think that has to be correct. Now, going to some things that I think you should consider. Part of the process that's being proposed is engaging the borough and special events committee in determining whether we we should or we should not allow specific production to happen here in town. So I think the fee structure should be changed to having an application fee and then a daily use permit.
That exists, Jim. There's a $100 filing permit fee, which did not previously exist in the fee schedule. So there's a new fee of $100 to file, and then $150 if you're a TV production under $5 million. And
it's not in this ordinance?
Or? It is. It's in there.
I may have missed it. I think $100 may be a little low, particularly on the major motion picture. To address something that Councilman Murphy alluded to. I had a discussion today with somebody who has participated and has done work for five or six major motion pictures in the last couple of years in the metropolitan area, and every one of those productions had a catering service bringing food in. They were not using local restaurants. Next on major motion picture, whatever the $5 million is, or let's say $5 million, for the Wall Streeters, if they're here for a week and spend $2,500, that's five basis points. For the rest of us, that's 0.05% of their budget, or to make it even simpler, 0.01% of the budget. That just find it mind-boggling to think that a major motion picture would decide not to use our scenery because of 0.01% of a budget, regular budget like that. Next, I think maybe the fee structure should, and I'm not sure how to monitor this, but maybe the fee structure should be addressed as how many people will be here and how many vehicles and how much other equipment. Try to get a focus on how much disruption there actually will be. And then finally, I think there's a big difference between major motion picture production and the type of production that Councilman Crowley was talking about, where you just have a small crew come in for a couple of days, maybe early in the morning, much less disruptive. So I'm not sure where I stand on all this, but I think these are all issues that you should consider before you go forward with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Muriel, just after. Yeah, no, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're already in it.
Harold Smith, 31 Sleepy Hollow Road, Red Bank. Also one of the owners of Sissy's Place. I can speak from personal experience from Save the Businesses. We had a production a few years ago that came down and wanted to use some stuff in the harbor, and we did not want to close our restaurant for a whole day. We have regular customers come every day. And what they did was they set a craft service truck up right in the harbor. That did not benefit our business one bit. And I've been on Spider-Man, Irishman, all different movies with our marine equipment, and never have I seen local businesses for food. I'm not saying they don't go to the hardware store, but for food or other things, they always, always, always have craft services there. They do. And saying it's going to benefit the local restaurants, you may have bought from the barbecue place, but it doesn't benefit. We've been here 15 years. We've never benefited from it. It actually is hurts.
Okay, thank you.
With all this discussion, I really think it should be table to work out the issues that have gone on.
Okay, thank you. Wait.
Yes, no, 29 Leonard Avenue. I came in with one objection to this, or kind of an objection to it, but all of this talk has led me to several more questions. I just heard the attorney say it's up to the council member to determine whether it's a conflict or not. Can I ask whether the council member will ask the attorney whether it is a possible conflict, just to save possible litigation. I know if it's possible to go to get a legal opinion before you have people act on an ordinance, it'll save the taxpayers a heck of a lot of money and lawyers' costs for possible litigation later on.
I don't own a production company, so I don't stand to benefit in any way financially. So there's not a conflict that way. This ordinance was co-written by the Secretary of State's Office of New Jersey. It's in conjunction with a program called Film Ready, which the governor has expanded the tax benefits for production to come into the state. And with Netflix coming in down the street, basically, in Fort Monmouth, and also with Lionsgate opening up in Newark, you've got a whole bunch of residents in the state of New Jersey that work in the industry that are going in right now into Brooklyn, or Queens that are going to Steiner or going to Silver Cup. And now they're going to be able to stay in their own backyard. So there are a great number of jobs that are going to be coming as a result of this. So that's why the governor has expanded the tax breaks. And that's why the film office, and we can have Ms. Parchman speak at any point, I think Doug, Mayor, who's with the New Jersey Film Commission, why they put together this ordinance. And they invited me to take a look at it, and so it makes a lot of sense for us to set ourselves up for the future, to be able to get more production when these studios are built. So that's really the impetus behind a lot of it, is to set ourselves up for the future.
So my question, aside from all of that and Newark and all these movies you're talking about, I don't know anything about, aside from all that, do you feel that you're in conflict of interest in voting on this?
I don't, because
okay.
I don't own a production company, so I don't stand to get benefit from...
And you don't want to ask the borough attorney whether you might be in any...
I've talked with three lawyers at this point.
I'm sorry?
I've talked with three lawyers at this point about it.
Have you talked to the borough attorney about it?
I have. And it's what she said to you a few moments ago, and everybody in the room, still stands. It's no difference.
That's up to you.
Yes.
Right, okay. But you didn't say whether she thought it was a good idea or not, or what her opinion was.
I gave you all the information just now.
I just think of litigation, and I know how much lawyers charge for litigation, but how long they keep things going on before they settle things.
I take offense to that, Muriel.
I didn't hear that.
He said, I take offense to that.
He's still in here. He takes offense. He's an attorney.
He's an attorney. He takes offense to your comment.
I take offense to your comment.
I'll have to catch you later.
Okay.
After I complimented you, I'm allowed to speak. I still haven't heard.
I'll start screaming later.
My question that I started out with is, has anybody done any study other than hearing Mr. Crowley talk about it on specifically what it would cost for our police department and our rules department and our permit department and everybody else who has to put in time for this? Has anybody done any study on whether the fees that are being charged would cover the costs that we incur?
So I think that would be very difficult to determine. It's really on a case-by-case basis, depending on the size of the production and what their needs are for that particular film or commercial or whatever it happens. So it's extremely difficult because the needs from one film and production to another varies tremendously.
But
one may require no roads to be shut down. Another one may require several roads. Right? One may require no entryway to certain areas, even pedestrian, some won't. So it's very difficult.
But Mr. Farragina, you have to recognize that the special events committee would require a police officer.
I do.
Officers to be on set.
Correct.
At which point the production company or studio is then paying the cost of those police
That's correct.
Officers. So then there is no cost to the town.
So then wouldn't it make sense to add something in the ordinance that says, you know, daily revenue loss for the business should be compensated if these businesses are losing money? I mean, is there could we put that in there? Like if you had a business, you know,
we're getting into a whataboutism of that you're assuming.
Well, no, I'm not getting into what. No, I'm not. I'm getting into specific. In the event that this happens, this will come into effect, such as, you know, if Sherman Jewelers is accustomed to a certain amount of business.
So what about if Sherman Jewelers?
In the event that a business loses income, or revenue on a daily basis, and I don't mean to interrupt and jump in on this.
You just did.
But Mike, and only because you sparked this in my mind, that, you know, could we put something in there that says projected revenue if revenue is lost? You know, I'll submit an invoice or submit evidence of what your daily revenue is and show us the loss, and we would the production company would compensate that.
Jim, without getting into my feelings about the ordinance one way or the other, I'm going to use the word that I use quite a bit in what I do, and that's just too speculative.
Right.
How can you possibly determine on that particular day, on May 25th, 2023, that Sherman Jewelers may lose, I don't know, $1,000 in diamond sales as a result of a commercial or a TV show being filmed on First Avenue?
I guess you can't.
No,
I don't know if you can.
No.
Well, I don't know if you can project daily business, right? Revenue that they earn. It was brought up, and I thought maybe yes, that's not a bad point. If the businesses lose money, there would be a safety valve in there to protect the business.
Well, again, the safety valve is going through the special events committee
to make sure that
everything is set up properly so that doesn't happen, because there is something in the ordinance that talks about not getting in the way of obstructing sidewalks or entranceways. That's a given within the industry, but it's a given in this ordinance as written. So if somebody felt that something happened, then of course you've got recourse. If something went haywire and, I don't know, a crane fell apart, you know, if you want to get into a whataboutisms, then somebody would have recourse to go file against that production.
Ms. Smith, would you like to finish? Okay.
Well, that brings up something else, but I mean, if there's so much discussion among council members going on right now when we're having a public hearing, before we even finish the public hearing, it strongly indicates to me that there does need to be more thought and discussion going into this, and maybe tabling it one more time would be the proper answer for this. But so, Mr. Farragina, now I forgot what I wanted to say to you. My question to you then was, so the council set this fee without knowing what the cost, definitely what the cost would be incurred by whichever movie company comes in to do all this. There's no connection between the fee and what it might cost is what I guess I'm asking.
I think there are two different things, because it's very difficult to speculate and to determine from one production to another.
Right.
The needs could vary dramatically from one spectrum to the other.
But you set the fee for both.
Well, the council does.
Can I respond to that, Rob?
Sure.
Yeah, hello. No, so the ordinance, it sent it to the special events committee. There should be no cost to the community. If there's a cost to the township, then the ordinance isn't working, because the way it's set up is police. If you need police, then they have to pay for police. If you need a porta potty, as the councilman mentioned, they have to pay for that.
Okay.
So they're told what they have to do or they can't film. So the design is every it shouldn't cost us anything. They should all be the same, which is why the permit fees are the same.
So if we need extra police for different streets, or if we need...
They should pay for all of that.
They have to pay that?
That's exactly right.
And that's in the ordinance?
That's the special events committee does that, and it says...
It's very confusing to say the truth, because I don't know many people
are thinking so. Blame the lawyers, Muriel. Blame the lawyers.
if the special events committee requires a police officer, then that cost is borne by the production, not by the town.
Yeah, that's what the attorney just told me.
Right.
I wasn't aware of that before. My issue before all this other talk started was on, well, actually two of them. One was on protection, like the councilman mentioned, because when Kevin Smith spoke, before we even had a public hearing, Kevin Smith, the other Mr. Smith that's on the Zoom spoke, because he had been waiting an hour to get him in there first. When he spoke, he's different from the Kevin Smith that was brought up in Highlands and Our Lady Perpetual Health School in Marshall, Hudson. He was talking about, he works with riffraff, and he knows riffraff, and he knows that phone companies come in with riffraff. So given that the man that wants to come in and is willing to pay whatever you say, because he just insists a lot, but it's not a personal thing, he'll pay whatever you say, If he knows all these people are riffraff, I don't know that Atlantic Highlands really wants that to be coming into town, and that was my first question.
Okay.
My second thing was, we've heard so much about lack of parking in this town. I really think we should put our priority on making sure we have parking for the businesses that we have now, for the residents that we have now, before we talk about bringing in big business that might close down streets for a day at a time, or even an hour at a time. It might be the hour, though I have a beauty parlor appointment, you never tell. But I think parking should be an issue in this town. Resolution of parking should be an issue in this town.
We used to have a committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to have a committee.
You have a parking permit, but we don't have parking for the restaurants in town right now. It's difficult to get parking places on First Avenue.
The comment was that there was a parking committee. Committee is what they said. There was a parking committee, is what a member of the audience just said.
But she has the floor right now.
Moving on to the next thing, I thought I read it specifically what the special events committee is. Could you tell me who is on the special events committee that we now have?
I don't have the list in front of me, but I can certainly provide it to you.
Well, what I read today is that it's all municipal employees. It's a police chief.
I believe a member.
Public Works Director. I
believe a representative from the Chamber of Commerce is on there as well, but I can provide you the full list tomorrow.
Okay, terrific, thank you. I'm surprised that we're taking on a thing like this if we all don't know who the special events committee are, and yet we're citing them in a new ordinance.
Fire marshal, DPW, police representative. Harbor master, our fire marshal,
chamber.
Yours, here. I was just going back and forth between Elizabeth and Beth. So, Beth, you're here as part of that. Who am I missing?
Head of recreation.
And head of recreation.
And it's specific to the position, not to the person.
The position, correct.
Okay, so that's who your special events commission is. In writing right now. My thing is supporting on it. if you are going to pass it, then in order to really make money, I would say that you amend the proposed ordinance and include that this borough gets residuals for any film that uses Atlantic Highlands every time it's shown. This borough gets
okay. Yes.
Hi, Eleanor. Are you on East Lincoln Avenue, Atlantic Islands? I have a question on item number 7, just for clarification. The waiver of requirements of chapter by the business administrator. I'll just read the first paragraph. Business administrator may authorize a waiver of any of the requirements, provisions, or restrictions of this chapter if the business administrator determines that a waiver thereof may be granted without endangering the public health, safety, and welfare. In determining whether to issue a waiver, the business administrator shall consider the following factors, which I won't list. Can you explain what that role is? Does that mean that Rob would have the authority to kind of like supersede the special events committee's decision?
It's not to supersede. What it is, so the scenario that what about is that Mr. Murphy raised. If the special events committee said they made a request and they said you've got to do this, this, and this for us to approve it, and then special events committee is dismissed for the day, then what that allows is for the production company to say, okay, we got the porta potty and we got chain link fencing for this area and we've secured parking. Then they can go back to the borough administrator and say, we've done that. And then the borough administrator then can relay to the special events committee, they've met all the requirements. So they get the green light, they can go ahead and they can shoot.
Thank you. I just think we have to put our citizens first, our residents first, our businesses first, and I feel like we're kind of catering or inviting outsiders first to benefit from maybe certain businesses will benefit and maybe to the detriment of others. So I would like the council to maybe table this for now, but really do more homework on it. I think we're on the right path with this ordinance. to have these different, you know, restrictions, but I don't think it's comprehensive enough. It certainly doesn't answer some of the questions and the concerns that people have raised tonight and I had before, but I'm not going to repeat. I am concerned about having Netflix nearby because I just think the volume is going to increase. There'll be more requests for this. I don't think the fee is so outrageous, but I would say that as long as the borough is compensated for whatever police that we have to have or, you know, impacts to infrastructure, that we're reimbursed, that doesn't cost us anything, or that a sudden influx of, you know, people wanting to watch the production because they know somebody famous is here, unexpected traffic flow from citizens just interested in, you know, watching. I'd like the special events committee to get some guidelines because we're kind of tossing it in their purview, but they might not know how a production really runs, what's really involved, to be able to adequately answer, you know, questions on this is how we should solve this problem with the anticipated traffic or any of the other impacts to the town. And then regarding reimbursement for businesses, I do know that there was a city up in Union County who had a production that they filmed at night to try to be less disruptive, not filming during like rush hour, because it was a town that had a train station and some waterways as well. And they even like dressed up some of the streets with awnings for the 1940s for the look and feel. But they also compensated all those store owners for that approximate, you know, about Thursday evening at between these hours, that store averaged this kind of income and this kind of revenue. The production company reimbursed those businesses for that expected anticipated average lost revenue. So I think we're on the right track with this, but I think we have gaps that we need to fill and do a little bit more homework on it. And I would like to maybe ask the special events committee to look at this ordinance and help you guys build it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Regina Keelan, 21 King James Lane. I have a question. Isn't this already an ordinance?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that you're up there doing is changing the fee for TV production
mm-hmm.
from $500 to $150.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we're going to sit up there tonight, no, we're not going to do that. It's still an ordinance. It's already been. When was that voted on, the original ordinance that we're dealing with here?
2021.
So, and Jim, when you were here in 2021, excuse me, did you have concerns about this, or did you vote yes or no on it? I'm not talking about what's up before you now, changing of the one thing.
Yeah. I can't recall exactly how, but I'm sure I voted for it, more than likely.
It was unanimous.
And that was also with a deterrent of a higher cost.
An hour on an ordinance that we already have that we want to drop the fee from $500 to $150 only for TV. And this is cuckoo town. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you framing it that way, Ms. Holly, because it is the truth, and I've added a fee onto this that we didn't have a prior filing permit fee, and I've added that into this.
I understand, but what goes on up here tonight?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What goes on up here tonight, if you say, all right, let's keep it out of this. It's already an ordinance.
It's not. I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
Mrs. No,
Keelan.
It's not.
No.
You just said it was.
There's a fee schedule that was passed in 2021. So there's a fee schedule. There's no restrictions. So, like, for example, how this comes to the harbor, this is an example, and it did come to the harbor, that there was we approved the entire fee schedule, including a $500. That's what I was looking up on my computer. So there's, like, the skate park is on the same fee schedule, up to 4 hours, $200 if you wanted to use that. The film production slash recording slash parking is $500 per day or $250 for up to 4 hours. That was passed. Things like when a film production or a television production has come to the harbor, because that typically is where it has come, although Mr. Crowley's production was not in the harbor, there's a lot of questions that are asked. And so adopting an ordinance that puts restrictions and is actually protecting the municipality. We don't have that in place right now. We just have a fee. So basically you pay $500 and then it's left to either the Harbor Commission or the council, mayor and council, and the special events committee to put the parameters around it. So what this ordinance would do is actually put these, what did you say, security measures or
guardrails?
That's what this proposed ordinance proposes to do. Now, perhaps there could be some improvements to it, but there is nothing on the books right now that says that there's any restriction on, it's just a fee. So I think what this is attempting to do, and again, this is not me stating opinion, this is just me stating fact, is to put something in place to put in those guardrails or some guardrails. And we've seen a draft of this since March, so there's been no proposed amendments to the existing.
Mm-hmm. And then they talk about,
get the steps in, Regina.
I'm the same person. I'm just standing over there, sorry.
I know.
But I'm saying that film companies and TV companies are going to be bringing in, I forgot what the word was.
Riffraff.
I didn't hear anybody, and I don't know, this would be my concern before television and TV crews, is we have the Fireman's Fair, and we have a carnival coming into town. If we're going to start picking out certain industries and stuff like that, we should take a look at all the industries. I think I'm more concerned about what's going to be going on down the harbor with the carnival people coming in with the rides.
Okay, let's not disparage anybody.
Yeah, and
excuse me, I was sitting there for an hour, and people have been saying that people from production companies and TV companies or whatever you're calling them, it was not my wording. It's just like, let's keep that out of it.
Yeah.
And going on for now, an hour and 5 minutes regarding this is ridiculous.
Okay.
The town needs to move on to get some important work done, and it's either a yes or a no, or table it and do some work on it. Somebody said somebody's here from the state, maybe we can listen to them and see what they said, and then do something, but this is creepy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If I may, just to be clear, John, my comments were never, I wasn't concerned with quality of people. It was the quantity of the people coming in. That's just to be clear on that. And as far as 2021 goes, we didn't have Netflix and Lionsgate coming in down the street back then. So things are a little different. And that's all, and really, again, this was never a personal attack against John. My concerns were with just the specifics about adding layers of protection.
Is there anybody else?
Elizabeth Parchment online?
That one's just
no, I'm still trying to get people that have their hands up.
Oh.
Come up.
I've just got a question about it.
Sarah.
Sarah, number 34, East Lincoln Avenue. The fee schedule. And I've heard a lot of people saying it's pretty much subjective. You can't project what costs might be needed or what kind of cops might be needed, roads closed or prep work or if it's trash from the black orders. But if you issue them a permit, whatever the fee is, whatever your fee structure is, outside of that, there should be an actual cost recovery, not only for services provided by the town, but also any kind of remediation or any damage to public property that company is then billed for.
Mm-hmm.
That way you have a concrete figure of which, what is that cost? What's the cost for
$1 million?
Put this back forth about the costs were, and that should be done after the fact.
Carry in, carry out.
There you go. Thanks. That's covered.
That's, Ms. Weimer, that is covered.
I'm sorry?
That is covered.
Okay, I know, but I heard a lot of stuff like before the fact that like it was included in the fee, and we're over that, and we're going to get it back, and it should be up to, I know before you said something, I believe you said if there was a business that something would haywire that they should go after the production company. The town is the one that should be issuing that cost recovery after the
Well, there's an insurance bond that they have to post.
Right, but someone would have to go after them for that, and it shouldn't be put on the resident or a business. That should be part of this whole thing. That total cost recovery and full restoration of prior conditions are responsibility of the council.
But, as your sister just said, and as the councilwoman said, there's no protection right now. There's none. Somebody could come into town right now, go to special events, pay the fee, and go shoot. And likewise, the other gentleman was talking about a private residence. You don't need a permit to go film at a private residence. But with putting this in place, now you finally have some guidelines. And there's a fee.
Make sure that, after the fact, billing is part of it if there's extra costs. Because it shouldn't cost a taxpayer anything.
That's my concern.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Zach Brown, 64 Lewis Drive. As I see it, the fee schedule that we have in place now is basically a de facto ban. So we're message that we're sending is we don't want any film productions in this town, except for the select cases where somebody has like a personal vested interest in the town and they're willing to pay that cost. It seems to me like this ordinance that's being discussed tonight is a middle ground between where we were prior to the current ordinance being so 2020 and where we are today. So we're not going to where a lot of other municipalities are where there's no fee and you can just kind of come in and do whatever you want. There are guidelines and there are regulations. And I think it will still deter some percentage of productions from coming here. I don't think that Netflix and Lionsgate are going to come in and then all of a sudden every production that they do is going to be filmed in Atlantic Highlands. I think these productions, to the extent that they happen, will be temporary. These aren't like a cannabis business that I know people have a lot of concerns about the crowds. That's a permanent structure that would be in place in perpetuity. Once it's open, the town has limited recourse in terms of being able to do anything about it if they were to so choose. But these productions are temporary. They want to be in and out as fast as possible. I don't think they're going to be a long-term problem. And if it does turn out that with this new fee schedule that we have productions here all the time, every day, causing major problems, I think we can, this is something that we can revisit. This isn't like we're letting the genie out of the bottle, and once the productions start coming in, we're powerless to stop them. If it does start to get out of hand, we can come back and revisit this issue and say, okay, you know, permits are $2,000 a day because we don't want any part of this anymore.
Right.
My other thought was, and I don't know if this is legal or possible, could there be some kind of credit? Because the fees, in terms of the borough budget of $8 million, something like that, a couple thousand dollars in fees here or there is pennies, it's trivial. But there is potential real revenue for the businesses in town and potential costs for them too if they are obstructed from doing their business. So could there be some kind of credit, a percentage of what they spend in town could be basically in lieu of the permit fee or like a reimbursement or something like that. So if they spend $10,000 in town, 10% of that gets counted towards their fee that they would pay to the borough. So basically, instead of paying the fee to the borough, they're incentivized to support the local business. Mm-hmm. So that's something that might be possible.
It's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. I've not heard of that ever in my career, but that doesn't mean that that's a bad idea. So it's an interesting idea. Because again, I've always held that this shouldn't be viewed as a money-making opportunity for the town, that it's really for the benefit of the businesses, and so incentivizing them is great. So maybe that's something that we can think about and try to figure out a formula for that.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Makes sense.
As a former New Yorker, I used to see TV movie productions going on all the time, and this is just my personal opinion, but I think it's cool. Whenever you see, you know, production going on, you kind of want to take a look and see, oh, is there a big movie star here? Is there a celebrity here? Am I going to see this movie? I might be more likely to go watch a movie that I know my town was filmed in my town and say, oh, yeah, I know that place. So that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think
Definitely
has a feeling good to it.
All right. I see no hands. Zoom. How many people?
One hand raised.
And how many?
17.
17? One hand? Okay.
And over Elizabeth Park.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so you can all hear me, and I've been listening to the discussion.
Please, your name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Elizabeth Parchment. I'm with the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission, which is housed under the Secretary of State's office. And I bring you greetings on behalf of the Secretary of State to the mayor and council members, as well as greetings from our commissioners and our executive director. And I really appreciate the thoughtful discussion that has gone into this ordinance from both the public and from the council members. And you have every right to do your due diligence for what is best for your town, as you are anticipating filmmaking in the town. As council member Carly mentioned, that the state of New Jersey has embarked upon a new program, which is called Film Ready New Jersey. And that program was designed to educate municipalities on the basics of hosting a film production, as well as we unpacked so many different items within our workshop, such as ordinances, whether you even need one or not, location fees. We talk about standards and best practices, what to expect, what is acceptable not within a town. We even train your police and your fire department on the public safety. But the bottom line here is that there should be, which I've heard a lot of comments about, there is absolutely no cost to the town, when a production comes and sets up shop and films in your town. That is, comes absorbed entirely by the production. We have hosted over 26,000 projects in the state of New Jersey, from northern New Jersey all the way down to Cape May, and everything in between. And hosted small projects, from student projects all the way up to multi-million dollar Steven Spielberg projects, which dropped $70 million in the state of New Jersey. We've seen everything in between. And I can say that for a fact, there are minor inconveniences at times, but they are outweighed by the economic impact that is dropped in a town. It's outweighed by the pride and the image enhancement when you know that a movie or a television show or commercial has come to your region, has come to your town, and you can identify the local coffee shop or the Victorian home or the shore or the local business that you see that on screen. Now, there always are concerns when once the production comes to your town. And when you have an ordinance or you have a code of conduct, you build in those protections. And I can say that productions are very respectful because they want to be able to come back to a town or come back to the state of New Jersey, because New Jersey has made it very attractive to welcome productions to the state of New Jersey. One, because we have a very aggressive tax incentives program, which has leveled the playing field and brought filmmaking back to the state of New Jersey. As you know, New Jersey is the birthplace of the film and television industry, period. So, you know, when we hear that we're now becoming Hollywood East, we always counter that and say, perhaps Hollywood has always been West. So we are bringing filmmaking back to the state of New Jersey because of our tax program, and then because of our diverse location. We are also seeing that there is a demand for content. There is a demand for locations that have never been seen before, that have never been used before, which puts Atlantic Highlands in a very unique position just because of the charm, the uniqueness in town, as well as other cities and towns in the state of New Jersey. Because the way that we look at it, when one town wins, the entire state of New Jersey wins. To give you perspective as far as the economic impact, this is kind of, we're considering this like a new industry. With anything new, there's growing pain. But consider this. For our tax incentive program, the state of New Jersey and production revenue brought in $67 million in 2017. In 2022, 1 year alone, 2022, $700 million in production revenue. So those dollars are going to towns. those towns are benefiting, the local businesses are benefiting from production shooting in their town, their region, their county, and production companies are looking to patronize the local businesses because this is an ecosystem that we have that has been created. Permit fees, our position on that is not a revenue raiser at all. It's not going to fill your budget. It's not going to plug your budget, but it is going to help your town, your local businesses benefit from the economic impact of bringing a production to your town. To give you an example, I'm just reading from our annual report here. I'm sure you all have heard of the television show or the competition show Wild and Out. They filmed their entire season here last year. And they used in-time catering in Unaki. And the catering for that line item was $112,000. They stocked their green room. They used the local Acme, as well as some other businesses, $37,000. They used construction materials at Dyke's Lumberyard in Weehawken, $467,000. Their local grip equipment company provided rentals, $32,000. Their camera equipment and lighting in Unaki, rental, $738,000. Their makeup and wardrobe, $565,000. That's for one show. Then we have one of my favorite examples is that when Gabrielle Union, I think it was last year when she came to film her movie and she filmed in New York, her husband, NBA superstar Dwayne Williams, for a surprise party for her last filming. He utilized Yellow Rose Vegan in Maplewood, as well as a company, a cornbread company in York. And after that, the business has been selling out. Gabrielle also posted to her 20 million Instagram followers that North Healthy Street is a vibe. And that's the lingo of this millennial and Generation X, the lingo that they have. So they were able to understand it. So when she said that North Causey Street is a vibe, and she also posted the consignment shop that she went to, the next day the consignment shop sold out. Those are just very, very small examples of definitely there's an economic impact. Do all businesses benefit? Absolutely no. Because when a production comes to town, they do have specific needs. So they're not going to utilize every single business within a community, but they are going to use some. And they are respectful. If there is any type of damage that is done, they clean that up, they return things to place. And the wonderful thing about our office is that we are the liaison. We are here for the towns. We liaise with the towns. We, of course, bring the productions to the state of New Jersey. But we make sure that the towns are protected, that the towns, if they have questions, if they need to bounce things off of us, is this right? Is this reasonable? Are they asking for something? Because I will say, productions usually do take the path of most resistance. And when they do that, we're able to step in. And we do act as a gatekeeper. No, this is not acceptable. No, this is not going to work. And we negotiate. The key here is to be able to be responsive, to work. The town does not have to have a blanket yes. You don't even have to approve production, a particular production filming in your town. You have to know what is best for your town. But the bottom line and the big picture here is that there is many benefits to bringing a production to your town. There are some minor inconveniences, but that should all work out ahead of schedule so that everyone is informed everyone is on page, and the idea here is that we all stay communicating, that we're on the same page, that there's no surprise. If there are surprises, we work that out, we iron it out. When Productions comes to your town, it is, they are coming to do business. They're coming in and out, they have a schedule, they're not here to waste time. So they have a footprint, it's a temporary footprint. And they're like an army, and they're coming, instead of being equipped with weapons, they're being equipped with cash to pour that local community. Whether it is directly in Atlantic Highlands, or it's in the surrounding area, depending on their needs. So I wanted to emphasize that. I really appreciate the thoughtful discussion. New Jersey is in a renaissance. It's very exciting. As I had mentioned, we brought in $700 million in the state of New York last year. We are on record to make another record-breaking year for 2023. And it's not just the filmmaking. Of course, it's the permanent infrastructure. You all had mentioned Lionsgate and Netflix. They're filming in their sound stages. So we're talking about when a production comes and films on location. So you're not going to expect droves of people coming in. And I really appreciate when someone mentioned that. This is local crew. These are New Jerseyans. The wonderful thing about what we're seeing and that we're hearing so often from the crew is that I don't have to go to another state to work anymore to make a living. I don't have to cost to go to New York. I don't have to fly out to Georgia or Texas or California. I can work here in my own home state. There's a New Jersey pride from the true blue crew that is working here, and they are respectful. Last week when I went to the Walking Dead set on their last day of filming, because we brought the Walking Dead franchise to the state of New Jersey, which just doesn't seem to die, the Walking Dead, I was there for the last day of filming, and I talked to a lot of the crew, and they said, I'm from New Jersey, I'm moving to New Jersey, I'm considering to New Jersey, my mom is here, I'm going to set up shop, I'm moving to New York, I'm coming to New Jersey. There is a respect, there is a lot of Jersey pride, and there is just a wonderful energy around filmmaking now that we are experiencing, and we hope that you will join us in June. On June 14th, we are having our Film Ready workshop, where we are going to train municipalities on what to expect. It's an all-day workshop. We will answer all of your questions. It's a content-filled, rich day to be able to ready you for productions to come to your town. And you'll walk out of that with a film-ready designation or status after you complete. So we invite you to come and attend that if you're interested. We have sent out invitations. And we are looking forward to lights, camera, action in Atlantic Highlands. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Is there anyone else?
Next hand raised is Mark Fisher.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, are you there?
Yes, good evening, everybody. Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I'll keep this quick. Ordinance 06-2023 makes sense. Please vote yes when you take the vote. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Wait. Garrett Best. I know. Okay, let's quiet down, please.
We can see you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to the meeting. I appreciate it.
Your name, please, sir?
Okay. Sure. My name is Garrett Fess. I'm the CEO of Two River Pictures, located in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
Can we have an address with that?
I just did. Two Hennessy Boulevard, Suite 2. We are a full-service production company specializing in nonfiction television, corporate video work. We've been in Atlantic Highlands for almost 4 years now, almost 5 years, actually. We've been in the production business for over 30 years, and in New Jersey, the primary portion of that time. I would like to encourage the council to consider keeping fees of shooting locations in the Atlantic Highlands at a reasonable permit amount to encourage others like us and people coming from other parts of the state to shoot in Atlantic Highlands, keeping us encouraged to do so and not choose to go somewhere else to shoot content. We're very proud of our headquarters and where we are and where we have located our offices. It's convenient to New York City. It's convenient to the Jersey Shore. It's a charming town. We support all the local businesses with, you know, constantly going out to lunches and constantly ordering flowers from the flower shop and eating at the restaurants in town. And when we do have the occasion to shoot in town, we'll spend even more money in town when we have full crews that are shooting in town. We have yet to shoot in Atlantic Highlands, but we are actually working on a project that would potentially have us shooting in Atlantic Highlands this summer. And I think that I'd love the council to consider the economic benefits of having people come spending money in your town while also showcasing and highlighting the benefits of the town and what it has to offer. And especially in our world, which is nonfiction, we produce travel and food content for the likes of Food Network and Cooking Channel and Travel Channel. Being able to showcase a town and talk about all of its wonderful offerings should be encouraged and not be discouraged by having fees to come and shoot there be exorbitant or oppressive.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much.
Okay. So, oh, sir.
Mike Casino, 6500 Avenue. I hear an awful lot of people say about an exorbitant fee, like this, $500 to $150 being exorbitant, when it was a Kevin Smith film, was filmed in Highlands, Atlantic Highlands, called Jersey Girl with Jennifer Lopez. Mm-hmm. Box office was $35 million take. Anybody here have $35 million? And worry about a $500 fee? I'm not. If I got $35 million, I don't care if it's $150 or $500. So if I'm spending $27,000 for lunch for my entire crew, but making $35 million, I'm not worried about $500 or $150. Can you take that into account? If they make a certain amount of money, we get a portion of it. Put that in there. The fee might be different after that. I don't understand that part. Most motion pictures, when you hear about what they made in the box office, millions and millions of dollars, and they're worried about $500 a day, I don't understand that.
Okay.
Not for us. I love that kind of money. That'd be great.
All right.
Thank you.
No. Yeah.
Hi, Susan Kayot, the 46 Prospect Circle. I'd just like to make a quick comment. Our hope tonight, in my opinion, is really to do what is best for the citizens of Atlantic Highlands. And if it doesn't benefit the citizens, then we wouldn't want to do it. And I would say everyone here wants a benefit. So if we're not ready at this point to actually pass this ordinance, which, in my humble opinion, we are so far away from passing this ordinance, we, as a community, should prepare ourselves with the best solution, best practice,
I don't know who this woman is. I understand she's from the motion picture in Drive, New Jersey. I'm going to get very narrow-minded here and say this is about the communities of Atlantic Highlands getting to the boat on time, not being late picking up your kid from daycare across town because First Avenue is clogged up, not having any walks of business. And yes, to your point, Councilman, there is a way that you could track all business. If you're in business for 5 or 10 or even 24 months, you can track your daily revenue on a regular basis. So in May or on May in 2021, you know what your average revenue is. That's called projections. And in terms of projections of cost, whether it's a municipality, whether it's a restaurant, there is a dollar somewhere associated with that. And I implore the council to take a second look at this ordinance that is so loose and could really find us as a community up in arms next year because something happens. Why would we wait until something happens? What we need to do is come together as a community and put an ordinance together that protects us. With all due respect, this is ridiculous. I don't know how someone can refuse themselves when it is nearly, absolutely, 100% conflict of interest. You're in the business, and that's what you want to bring here. I'm not going to fancy foot around in terms of, you know, degrading that industry. There's no sense to degrade that industry. It's a healthy, vibrant, profitable industry, and I know it's evolving within communities now. And New Jersey, yes, is benefiting from the revenue of that. But until we have an ordinance that clearly states what those rules, regulations, and our town's expectations is, how could we possibly pass this ordinance tonight to find ourselves 6 months from now fighting in court over, you brought it up,
okay,
a plane exploding or falling on someone's property?
Okay.
You want that to happen? We are 3 seconds away. And what's the benefit to us? So we can wind up here arguing about what the best solution is? No. Put the contract in place. I don't enter into any business agreements with legal. We have an attorney here. Put a contract in place that we can all agree upon. And what you're doing is anticipating issues and issues and issues that could potentially happen. When you enter into any contract, you're saying, I'm anticipating that this can happen. I don't shake your hand and say, oh yeah, you know, like special counsel or special committee or safety committee is going to take care of this. Nothing gets done unless it's on a piece of paper and agreed on.
Thank you so much.
I'm imploring you to just table it until we can all benefit from it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wait, come up here.
It's just on this.
Yeah. Okay. I see no more. Okay, we're good. So right now we need a motion and a second.
I'm making a motion to come out of public comment.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, before we vote, may I make a motion to table this?
We can discuss. We haven't discussed it.
Right.
As a council.
We discussed it earlier.
Do we need an all in favor to come out?
Came out of public.
Okay. There's already a motion and a second from the ordinance. So you can call for a vote on it, or you can have more discussion on it.
Yeah.
But you can also motion to table with the motion.
I was advising the council, though, so that was arguably attorney-client privilege. But no, I was telling them that they had a motion to come out of public hearing. They didn't take a vote on that, but they've already had a motion and a second on the ordinance so that they can vote on the ordinance. However, if somebody wants to have a discussion, they can do that. And if councilman wants to move to table, that will trump the ordinance that's under discussion.
So just in terms of discussion, I'm hearing from public, and I appreciate the public comment very much. What I'm trying to figure out is, right now we have no restrictions whatsoever. So $500, you come before special events committee, there's nothing. there's nothing at all. There's no ordinance right now. There's just a resolution that says if you want to apply for a film permit in Atlantic Highlands, it's $500. So I'm struggling with, is it better to pass an ordinance tonight to put in those guardrails? And then since no one came to the council tonight with specific adjustments to the proposed ordinance that we've had since March, I think that we could pass the ordinance as is, potentially, and any proposed changes could be considered by the mayor and council to be amended. But what I'm hearing is we don't want to be out in the field where somebody could come and do whatever they want and just pay the $500. There's no guardrails in place. That's what I'm hearing from the public, is we want to have some kind of guardrails in place. So I think we should vote on this tonight, move forward, but go ahead.
Council President, I just want to add something. From the last speaker was talking about a document in writing, and this ordinance contemplates that. It specifically contemplates that the Special Events Committee will have an agreement in writing involving the indemnification, safe, harmless, and protecting the municipality from all liability, expense, claim, or damages resulting from the use of the public lands.
I mean, and personally, like, I know Mr. Baracki and I were serving on the Harbor Commission at the time, and we had, Mr. Crowley had asked us to not put the $500 fee in place, but we were approving an entire fee schedule, and we agreed that we would look into it further to see what other towns were doing. That was what we had agreed to, but we did put the $500 because we felt that that was perhaps a deterrent, potentially deterrent, or potentially for a big production, it wouldn't be a deterrent, but we were putting something in place because there was nothing in place.
All right.
Yeah, and to my point, to the point I made earlier, I did not realize this was going to turn into such a well thought out discussion. My thought was if yes, we don't have these protections in place, right? We do have these changes happening that weren't in place in 2021 with these productions right down the street. If we're going to do this, I feel that we should be maximizing the benefits and protection to our community. So I'm going to keep my motion to table this. I would love to sit down with John, take some of the considerations that the public has raised into that conversation, put it into this ordinance, and see if we can come back with something that's providing the adequate protection for the community from these productions.
Can we have a second?
I will second that.
Okay. Then now we have to have a roll call.
Mm-hmm. This is a roll call to table.
Yes.
I'm only going to say, Councilman, you sort of forced my hand. We went back and forth, and I never could get any changes to this from you. That was over a period of a month. And I kept asking, and I said, you can even text it to me, and you did not. Yeah. So here we sit, we tabled, and there was no discussion of any revisions to this ordinance.
I'd like to make a point here. So I've been very quiet and listening to a lot. Clearly, the community is very concerned about what needs and should happen in our community. I'm respectful of that. That's why I'm in support of Councilman Murphy's point. If we can't get it right the first time, we go back to the drawing board, but let's try as much as possible.
Well, let's be prepared for the next meeting then.
Okay.
We still have to vote on
tabling.
The table is a second on that motion. Can we get a vote on that?
Now we need a vote.
Mr. Collins Thurgo.
No.
Mr. Crowley.
No. Let's take a vote.
Mr. Yes. Music.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Would you like to phone a friend?
Let's vote.
No.
Ms. Hohenleitner.
No.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion does not pass, so now we're going to make a motion and a second to approve. I'm sorry. To approve it.
One thing I heard from the public that I would like council to consider before they vote, and I'm not sure what your feeling is on this, but somebody pointed out the words "when filming entirely on public property."
Yes.
In two places. I think that "entirely on public property" should be removed unless you intend to say that if a little bit is on private property and the rest is on public property, that there's no fee. I think that may have to come out. If you know, if that's what you're intending, because if then anybody who doesn't want to pay a fee would just film for a minute or two on my property or Ms. Smith's property.
No.
No. We're discussing it. I'm advising council of a recommendation that unless they intend to permit somebody to not pay a fee by filming.
So can we vote on that tonight with
you
that
can
revision?
Table. That's an insignificant change. Yes, you could vote on
could
it.
Could we also, Ms. Schaefer, let me ask you if this is proper, but I appreciated Mr. Krause's suggestion about defining more clearly what the budget for a major motion picture would be. Is it production budget? Is it total budget? Would you be willing?
Total budget?
Total budget. Sure.
Okay. And I think that's
also an
insignificant, so we can put that on there. Because that's what
So parliamentarily, whatever the word is, we can make that change and vote on this evening?
Yes.
I think that's a good
suggestion. Multiple council members that have issues or concerns, but we're still going to vote on this.
It's a word change, councilman.
Okay.
So total is what that budget, what that means, and I'm fine with putting total in.
Okay.
Now you want a motion a second on that ordinance as amended.
Okay. What she said. A motion and a second on how it was amended. I need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion. Call us her though.
Give me a second.
I'll second.
Mr. Colasurdo.
I'm voting yes.
Mr. Crowley.
I will abstain.
Ms. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
I am compelled by the fact that we do not have limitations at all right now. I was, and Mr. Crowley knows this, I've had concerns with this, but I believe that some limitations that can be revised in the future are better than the current state, which is no limitations. I vote yes.
I agree with you, Brian. That's why I'm voting.
Ms. Hommelagner.
I'm going to vote yes, and I hope that everybody who has issues will come prepared within the next 2 weeks with the changes that they'd like to propose, because I think they were very reasonable, but bring them to the table and be prepared.
Mr. Murphy.
I'm going to vote no. I've made my point. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now we actually have to go to public comment. on the consent agenda and regular agenda items. Mr. Linesdorf.
Glove wall wrap. I don't remember ever seeing this on a previous agenda. So what is this? Is this connected to the redevelopment? What is this? You're changing the name. They merged with someone, so you have to, right?
That is correct. So the law firm that we had on board for that special redevelopment. Or redevelopment.
Now, which attorney is this?
For redevelopment.
Is this Ari or
Jason?
No. This is Megan Bennett. So there's no change in this individual. The only change is that the firm has entered in a partnership with another firm, so the name of the new firm has changed.
Was she Glockmorat?
I don't think so. The previous firm was. Bear with me one second here. It's right in the.
It doesn't matter. I think Bluff Wall Rat, you should not be doing business with Bluff Wall Rat. Okay? Because in the mayor race 4 years ago, there ended up an extra candidate on the ballot two weeks after filing. I made a public, we could have determined whether it was filed timely because there are security cameras at the Board of Elections. I filed an FOPA request. Can I see the security cameras? Michael Fitzgerald said no, but they hired Luck Wallrath. They gave an outside opinion, said we couldn't look at the security cameras because then I might know how the building is protected from a terrorist attack. They have this out that you can't see footage from security cameras because then you'll know where they are so you can block them when we decide to attack before the election. Mm-hmm. So what they did was they used the excuse of security, physical security, to cover up a potential election fraud. So I don't think this is a law firm with which the borough should be doing this.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yes. Ms. Smith.
Yeah, well, Smith from Van Lennep Avenue. I'm not casting any aspersions on either the clerk or the deputy clerk. They both are overworked. They both do terrific jobs. Mm-hmm. But I was looking at the agenda this morning, apparently before the agenda was changed again. So I was looking at the revised agenda this morning, but then I guess it was changed again today. And now resolution 2686 isn't on the agenda for tonight, which is the one where we were honoring LGBTQ month and putting flags out.
It should be on. Oh,
it's on. It's on the 86 is there.
Is it on there?
Yes, it's on there.
Number four.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I was my question then was going to be right as well. I'm glad it's on. Thank you.
Okay.
My questions then were, we did honor LGBTQ last year, and we put the flags out. Are any of you aware of any of the other national observances that are held during June that maybe we could honor that maybe impact people in this town?
Flag Day would be one. Flag Day would be one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about the whole month. Oh, it's the day against illness. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait.
But I'll talk nationally in the United States of America. We also observe Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. And there are a lot of people that suffer from Alzheimer's. There are a lot of people that have brain problems and certainly need brain awareness. This affects children, teenagers, people of every race, gender, whatever else. We've never had a month designated to celebrate or observe Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. It's Widows Month. Matter of fact, that one is so important that it's International Widows Month. Ironically, the one day in the month that requires a whole month to be celebrated is June 21st, which is the longest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's a widow knows that every day is the longest day of the year once you're now in that classification.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're a widow, you do suffer from discrimination. You do suffer from poverty. You do suffer from being excluded from certain groups. And yet we've never observed that, and we've never observed the diversity of those people who are widows. It's also PTSD Awareness Month, Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome Month. We've never observed that. And yet, I don't know how many military men and women have suffered from that. They're the primary sufferers of post-traumatic stress syndrome, but there are many others itself that are suffering from it too. Right in this town, from COVID, from storms, from storming, from the superstorm, from hurricanes in the past, and yet we've never observed that, and we've never given any recognition to any of those people either. My personal favorite is it's Effective Communications Month, and I think this having an hour and a half discussion on one ordinance shows that we do need a little more effective communications. During the month, and I don't know, maybe in June, because Mr. Farragine is terrific on bringing these things up, but in June, I hope that we do the letter T Day, the 70th anniversary of the day that our guys went into Normandy and went on the beach in Normandy and made our country what our country is today. It was that generation. It's also the 248th birthday of the United States Army. They were there at the revolution. They were there with General Washington, and they're the ones that make this country what this country is today. Their birthday, by the way, is the same day as Flag Day, and I do hope that we're doing something for Flag Day, or at least having a proclamation or a resolution for Flag Day itself. It's Descendants Day in June. Descendants Day, not only should we recognize from whom we are descended, but it's a time that we should look to our descendants and see exactly what we're leaving to our descendants. It's Cancer Survivors Day. There's another one that I think impacts a lot of people in this town. And if you've been a cancer survivor, you know that it's important to be recognized and to get a little congratulations for being able to live over a terrible disease and be able to conquer it and be able to come forth with it. Yet we've never done anything like that as far as I know. It's Ocean Day. Ocean Day. We're so close to the ocean here. A day is set aside to observe the beauty of the ocean, to appreciate the beauty of the ocean, and maybe to protect the ocean so that we don't leave it to our descendants, so it's not as beautiful and cared for as it should be today. It's Make Life Beautiful Day in June. We have a Make Life Beautiful Day nationwide these days, sorry. And that combined with Effective Communications Day would do away with a heck of a lot more problems as far as I'm concerned. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dean Whitehead, 17 Hartford View Drive. As a janitor, we've been here an hour and 45 minutes going over the film issue. And the concern I have is that all the different positive negatives from the audience on both sides of that thing, and then we pass the vote, and Muriel just said that there should be more communication. I think there were good things that John brought up and Jim brought up. But for all that discussion, how do you just pass something like that through when an hour and 45 minutes was stayed on it like that? It doesn't make sense to me. When there's so much confusion, that should be worked out and then come back where you're hearing the voice of the people. And six people should not be able to decide what the town wants without it. Mm-hmm. Take what the town says and really think about it.
Thanks. All right, thank you. No, I'm going to go to Zoom now. I'm mute.
13 attendees, no hands raised.
Mm-hmm. No hands? Okay, so we're going to go to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 83, allowing the budget to be read by title. Resolution 84, payments of bills, $230,526.35. Resolution 85, approving the change of the firm name, Redevelopment Council, Megan Bennett. Resolution 86, dedicating June 2023 as LGBTQ Pride Month. I'll move it.
Second, Dr.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasurdo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Consent items passed.
Okay, now we're going to hear from the public hearing for the municipal budget. Can I take over?
Yeah, I'd like to welcome Matt Holman from HFA, as well as our CMFO, Chris Santiago. I appreciate both you gentlemen sitting and learning so much about the film industry. And now you can present the municipal budget. But before you do so, I had promised Muriel Smith at the last meeting that I would ask you a question. So we've been having a discussion regarding the potential purchase of fire apparatus for the municipality. And if you could just walk the municipality guests here and the dais through, if the borough were to proceed forward, regardless of what percentage of purchase, 1% up to 100%, with a fire apparatus at some point, how would that purchase take place? Can you just walk everyone through that so they understand how we would actually pay for that?
Sure. And good evening, everyone.
Hi.
The first thing there, Rob, we would have to adopt the budget first. That would be first and foremost, which we'll get to in a second. Once their budget is adopted, the capital improvement fund will be funded through the budget, and you would need a first reading and an introduction of the capital ordinance that's necessary for that purchase. Okay, then after that is done at a meeting, you would wait for a second reading, and then you would have the adoption of the capital ordinance. Okay, so at that point in time, after the capital ordinance has been adopted, that provides the borough with the spending authorization necessary to now make the purchase. Then at that point in time, once you have the spending authorization, you can go through the proper purchasing regulations that you need to follow for any purchase of that nature. And obviously, that would be a scenario where you'd be going through a bid process.
Okay, and the estimated timeline for that whole process, generally speaking, would be?
Yeah, not knowing the meeting schedule off the top of my head, I would say you're looking at about a two-month window.
Okay.
for that type of purchase. Perfect. And that would be best case scenario in that case.
And we only have one meeting in July and August.
Correct. Right, so could be a three.
Yeah, you probably more realistically probably about a 3 to 4 month window.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much. And now feel free to dive right into the municipal budget.
Yeah, okay, so we have a little presentation for you here. We'll keep it as brief as possible. We're here to we're here to go over the 23 budget. You can go to the first slide, so I'll keep down on that. Thank you. What you see here, your 23 tax distribution, this slide shows you have a tax levy in total of $18,875,149, we'll say. So really just wanted to highlight of that total tax levy, important to note here, you can see that your school district makes up 54% of that levy. You have the county that makes up 14% of that levy, and then you have the borough, which makes up the remaining 31%. So very important, just keep that in mind as you look at what makes up the total levy here. If you flip to the next slide there, you can see your 23 municipal tax summary. We really are now isolating into that municipal 31% now. And you'll see that the net valuation taxable for this year came in at $1,094,462,000, up from 2022. It was about, we'll call it $40 million up from the prior year. So that's a 3.74% increase in your net valuation taxable. And what that means is that the valuations in the borough themselves went up about 3% across the board. Okay. So with a municipal tax rate held steady, you would still experience a bit more coming into the municipality because of that valuation increasing. Now, right below that, you'll see the municipal tax rate that's proposed in this 23 budget. The tax rate itself is actually showing a decrease. The 23 municipal rate would be 0.543 versus the municipal rate in 2022 of 0.548. And you can see it's a variance there of 0.005. So a slightly less tax rate is being presented. Go forward on that. Okay. All right, and just to continue down that line, you can see the actual levy itself for 2023, $5,938,835 versus 22, where there was $5,776,456, variance of $162,379. You can see the average assessed home value for 23 came in at $581,924, and the average assessed home value in 22 was $558,044. So you're seeing an increase in home values of approximately 4%. Not everybody's obviously going to experience the same thing here, but this is an average across the municipal, across the borough. Go forward. All right, so what does this mean then for an average household in the borough? Your average annual tax presented here would increase to $3,099.48 versus last year when we're calculating it against the average assessed value of $3,002.28. So the average household would experience an increase in taxes this year of $97.20, and that's an annual figure that we understand. Foot forward one more there. All right. This is just a little summary here of the municipal budget overall. Surplus utilized pretty close to what was utilized in the prior year. It's up about $53,000 in this case. Local revenues, approximately the same as well. $30,000 increase overall. New Jersey state aid held pretty consistent again with the prior year. You can see $19,000 additional. Public and private programs, this number looks like a large decrease, but what happens is over the course of the year, state and federal grants come into the borough. Mm-hmm. So as the year progresses, you'll see Chapter 159 is being added to the budget throughout the year. This number will catch up. It's just when we compare it in this manner, it does look like it's a big variance there. Delinquent taxes, we actually had a very good collection percentage last year in the borough. So the other side of that is what you see here. We're not able to collect as much in delinquent taxes. So this number is actually down from last year's budget. You can see $98,400 versus $175,000. So ultimately, the local purpose tax that's being raised through taxation, you can see for 23, the numbers need to change. 23 versus 22. But total revenues, the local purpose tax was up to $5,829,389 versus the prior year of $5,670,787, representing a change of about $158,000. So, as I said, total revenues will catch up, and they will most likely at the end of the year be very close to the prior year in this case. General appropriations, you can see a total number of $8,601,636 versus the prior year appropriations of $9,156,282. Again, the variance is because of the grant funding that will come in throughout the year. Reserve for uncollected taxes in this case remained very consistent with the prior year. We're showing that at $328,000 versus $325,000 in the prior year. Total appropriations then, as you can see, total are the same as total revenues in that case. Go to the next slide. All right, this is just a pretty much what I went over, just a little more deep dive into the budget appropriations. Just to highlight some of these, you can see that salary and wages from 2023 to 22 were up 9%. Other expenses were up about 11%. Statutory and deferred charges. So statutory, what's in statutory is your PERS pension, your payment, your pension payments, required state payments that have to be made. They did have a pretty significant increase this year. You can see that we're up about 19% in that area. I talked about the state and federal grants already. You can see that number will even itself out as we go through the year. Capital this year, pretty consistent with last year, just down slightly. So we're at $300,000 in this budget. There was $333,000 built in last year. Big savings area is the debt service. Debt service had $562,000 fall off this year. So really that helped to kind of make this budget go round, if you will. Reserve for uncollected taxes we talked about already, slight increase there. And then you can see the total appropriations at the bottom. All right, next slide. Okay, then on the water sewer utility budget side, very similar to the prior year budget, really nearly exact of what we saw last year. We're using a slight bit more surplus. We were able to bring a little more to the bottom line during 22, so we felt comfortable using a little bit more of that surplus. Otherwise, revenues remain very consistent there. And then you can see the appropriations as well. A slight increase on the salary side. A little bit in the other expenses. Debt service did come down a bit in this fund as well, but overall remained very consistent from 22 to 23.
Looks like one person used less water.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was very consistent there. Okay, so the next budget that you see here is on the harbor utility side. And again, miscellaneous revenues did come down a bit, and really, that's largely driven by the gasoline sales, believe it or not. So there was a big year last year for that. So we weren't able to kind of budget. We were a little more conservative coming into this year, not knowing where that was exactly going to be going. Mm-hmm. So we did bring the revenues down a little bit there. You will see the same kind of decrease on the appropriation side for that. Overall, the harbor did have a good year last year, so again, we were able to still contribute to the general budget here. You'll see $700,000, same as in 22, and it's built into the 23 budget that way as well. Okay, so when we put the budget together, just to bring everybody up to speed on this, municipalities must comply with two state-mandated caps. One is known as the appropriation cap, and the next is known as the levy cap. So by law, the spending cap is tied to the consumer price index from the prior year. This year, the cap has been set at 1% for the year, and the levy cap is fixed at 3% over the prior year. So everybody knows the rules there. Mm-hmm. So this budget had no problem getting underneath those caps, just in case there's any question on that side of things. Also in this budget, we were able to work in certain capital items that had been presented to us as important items for the borough going forward. Various road improvements are included in here. Purchase of a fire truck is in the proposed budget here. Various building improvements, purchase of DPW equipment, and purchase of police equipment. All right, so overall, really I just wanted to highlight the budget does present a decrease in the local purpose tax, as I had mentioned at the beginning, from 0.548 to 0.543 in 2023. And again, it does include an increase in the capital improvement fund of the borough, which will provide for those much-needed projects in the future. All right. So just to fill everybody else in, too, because there was some, unfortunately, late additions to the agenda tonight. Two of those you will see as resolutions number 89 and number 90. Unfortunately, the state is always a bit delayed when reviewing your introduced budget. They are up against it a little extra special these days. So they actually did not get back to us until about 10 a.m. this morning. So with that being said, they did have a couple items that we needed to revise what we were going to do with. And those are, you'll see that as resolution number 89, which is to cancel the grant reserve appropriation balance. And all that's doing is moving a grant that was previously recorded as an appropriated reserve to an unappropriated reserve so that the state would then allow us to utilize it in the budget, which is important because it is the ARP funding that helps the budget revenues go around. Without that, we would not be able to make the budget work. So I'm glad they did allow us to do it. We just have to do it through the amendment process. Okay, and the second one on resolution 90, you will see we did have to take a little bit out of the original amount that was being utilized for surplus, and we were able to move that through other miscellaneous revenues. And again, that had to be done through the amendment process, but we did receive word by doing these two resolutions we will be able to adopt the budget at the next meeting after these amendments are approved tonight. So with that being said, we cannot adopt until the next meeting, but this does serve as the public hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. So I would like to just interject and just remind everybody, per Chris's recommendation, we really have no choice, but resolution 087 should be tabled. Mm-hmm. Okay. At this point mm-hmm. in time.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. And roll call to table. Mr. Colasurdo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution 87 has been
tabled.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Nope. Move on to
okay. 088. Okay, so I'm going to do these together. Okay, resolution 89, canceling grant reserve appropriation balances, and resolution 90 amending the 2023 entry introduced budget. I need a motion and a second.
Dougherty, second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasurdo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution 89-2023 and Resolution 90-2023 passed.
Okay. Now, ordinance 8, the parking ordinance. This is the introduction. And ordinance 9-2020, the fee ordinance, introduction. I need a motion and a second for introduction.
I'll make the motion.
Crowley seconds.
And roll call. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Ms. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 8 has been properly introduced.
And thank you. Now, moving on. Reports from the council. We're going to start with Councilman Colasurdo.
I'm going to try and be very brief.
Yeah.
Let's start with recreation. On May 13th, there was the townwide garage sale. The weather held up. It was allegedly a great day. I hope it was profitable. That's it for, and oh, also, I want to congratulate the middle school admirals for winning the championship.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's great.
Environmental, it was a brief meeting, but we talked about the environmental resource inventory, and they are beginning chapter one. They formed a subcommittee. They are calling for volunteers. So if you are someone that is interested in, you know, climate resilience or just the general benefit of our town versus, you know, in dealing with climate change and the changing coastline or just the changing resources that our community might have, this is a fantastic project for you to work on or to be a part of. So if you are interested in volunteering in the what's called the ERI, the contact me. My email address is on AHNJ. I will get you in touch with Blake Deacon, the commission chair, who is super smart and super excited about this, and it seems like a wonderful, wonderful project. I've talked about it in the past. As a result of time, I will talk about it in the future, and I will move on to the next committee report, which is the shade tree. As mentioned, I think at the last meeting, there were 12 new trees planted throughout the borough. And we are trying to get an initiative to water them. I want to thank Mary Trank, who's part of the shade tree, who has taken the lion's share of reaching out to people and making sure that these trees are watered and thriving and so on and so forth. I want to thank all of those people who have volunteered to water them. It is an undertaking. These trees need 20 to 25 gallons of water per week, and we don't want to waste our resources and plant trees and just to see them die. We need to make sure that they thrive. We are a Tree City USA. Let's keep that going, and I hope that was brief enough.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. First Aid Squad. We talked a little bit about this earlier today, but let me just sort of bolster the point of all the great work that's going on there, that all the improvements in the last year. So May 1st to May 25th tonight, they've had 24 calls. Year to date, that's 167 total calls that they've responded to. That's versus only 67 calls that they responded to in all of to this point in 2022. And as I said earlier today, that means no calls, 100% answered calls so far this year. So Lance is not here, but a big tip of the cap to Lance and to Ann for turning around, and of course all their members, 19 of them, and they've really stepped up the recruitment, and so there's more people that are, you know, now volunteering, so it takes the load off. More hands makes what's the expression? More hands makes lighter work.
Hands make light work.
There you go. That's it. Atlanta Heights Police Department. I thought I was going to be making my report a little earlier in the evening, so I think it's too late, but tonight was the last night to buy tickets for tomorrow night's police ball. You can go online and try, see if maybe if you want to go, maybe try to attend, but all the proceeds go to the police explorers, and they need the funds. They need the support. So, of course, you can donate to the
to the to our police department, the PBA, and that you can identify for the explorers. Monday night here in Borough Hall, I want to point out something. We had we have a program that's been running since roughly February called Atlantic Highlands Presents. We've had one by the First Aid Squad on how to put together your first aid kit, and also under this was the bike learning program that they had a couple weekends ago. And on Monday we had a program that the chief put on that was all about the services that the police department offers to the community for free. A lot of people don't know that if you're in a jam and your car is dead, they will do a jump for free. A car seat installation. There's also the senior Operation Reassurance, which is for any of our seniors or people with medical conditions, people that live alone. They call every morning to check on you to make sure that you're okay. And there's a whole suite of other programs that they offer. And so this was covered on Monday. But look at the police department's page on Facebook, and you'll see posts that were created for this workshop, so it'll show you about the different things, more bullet points, more information, more detail on all these programs. And it's incredible, and I think anybody that can hear my voice right now is going to be surprised by how many different services that they offer that are completely free for residents. Also, Memorial Day Parade, which is on Monday, obviously, the 29th. No parking on First Avenue between the hours of 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10:30, anybody marching the parade, you'll be mustering on Sutton Rock, and you are asked to park in the senior citizens building lot, and the parade starts at 11. DPW, Memorial Day, DPW is currently preparing multiple areas in town for the weekend, the big weekend. All yellow curbs have been painted, all the benches, all the trash cans, all the recycling cans have been power washed in preparation for Memorial Day Parade. I see all the flags that are up. First Avenue is looking pretty spiffy. Mm-hmm. So thank you to DPW. The Edwards Way bump out, there was a damage occurred at the Edwards Way bump out. That'll be repaired after the holiday weekend. It was damaged by a delivery vehicle. It was accidentally backing up, and it backed right up into the wall on the south side. Recreation, only just saying that we're moving forward. Put it down on your calendar, Sunday, August 13th, 2 to 10 p.m., our food truck and music festival. And that is it, Mayor.
Thanks. Councilwoman Kusick?
I will be a lot shorter than Congressman Eric.
Wow.
Congratulations, sir.
Nice.
Okay. In terms of seniors, I just want to report back, although this past Sunday was the Lions Club Pancake Breakfast. Highly successful. It was really good, and everybody's very happy to have the Lions Pancake Breakfast back in town.
Yes.
We will also have, Lions will also have one in the fall, date to be determined. In terms of the seniors themselves, the walking group has been started, and there's about 8 to 10 people who are active in that. We're looking forward to the yoga program going on. Sorry, something happened to my voice. And lastly, as noted by Councilman Crowley, the reassurance program, we do have about 5 volunteers, and we will be meeting with the chief to get a slight program of education on how to handle that phone call. But we are looking for more people. Please think of some of your neighbors or your own family members who may benefit from the reassurance program, because it is something that is really quite worthwhile. Office of Emergency Management, I do want to thank Blake Deacon. He does have our Facebook page up. It's actually on the Atlantic, it's the Facebook page of the Atlantic Highlands site. Please get a chance, when you get a chance, take a look at it. But I also want to thank our attorney, Ms. Schaefer, for sending the ADA requirements to me. I think we're going to have to take a look at our whole website to make sure it does meet with the ADA requirements. So it will be a big job, and I'll have to talk with our business administrator about that. That will be a very large, not just for OEM, but for our whole site analysis of whether we meet the ADA requirements. Things like hearing impaired people, people who have limited eyesight, those kinds of things we need to take a closer look at. And lastly, the veterans, of course, remind everyone that the Memorial Day Parade is coming up to honor those who have been killed in action. We are continuing to do our program with the KIA program and maybe expand to some other things for our veterans. That's my report.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. I will also endeavor to be short. So the word of the evening is nothing. I have nothing to add to the personnel, or I have nothing more to add on the finance side beyond the presentation from HFA. So I thank them for their work on the budget and others. Fire, nothing to report. EMS Task Force will convene for its final meeting this coming Wednesday, May 31st, to finalize its recommendations to present to Mayor and Council. As indicated tonight with our proclamation, the First Aid Squad has done a remarkable job, a remarkable turnaround job. The EMS Task Force has been meeting for about a year and a half to make short, medium, and long-term recommendations to the Council to continue that improvement and to make that improvement permanent. So I look forward to that final presentation on June 8th. Planning Board has not met since our last council meeting, so I have nothing to report from the Planning Board. Finally, a quick update on the bike sharing project along Avenue B and Center Avenue. After some delays from the contractor, the county has now informed us that they have received the quote and are awaiting scheduling of the project. I will continue to keep everyone updated here as we receive more details on when the project will be completed. As mentioned, tomorrow evening is the PBA ball, and we happen to have Officer Labella in the back. Are tickets still available, Officer? Or are we? We're still available. So, Aaron and I are very much looking forward to being there tomorrow night. I hope to see all of you there. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to still have to get your tickets, Officer Labella is in the back of the room. Thank you. That's my report.
Thank you. Thank you. And Lauren?
Hi, thank you, everybody. Just very briefly to add on to Councilman Colasurdo's report for Shade Tree. Dr. Trank is in the back of the room. She's our watering coordinator, mm-hmm. and I see some waterers in the room. She's happy to sign people up here tonight, or the Shade Tree Commission has an official Shade Tree Facebook page where we have information about that. Also, you can call Borough Hall to connect if you'd like to help with the watering. We really need help with that. The Harbor Commission meets on Tuesday, so there's nothing to report there. And I just, because it's near and dear to my heart, the Henry Hudson Education Foundation, Pratisic Education Foundation cardboard boat race is on June 10th. It will start at 9 o'clock with building, and at 11 a.m. is the race. It's really fun, and it's kind of hysterical. So if you are up for it, it will be at the Sandbox over in Highlands. And that is my report.
All right, let's keep it moving. I'm just going to add a couple things to Councilman Crowley's DPW report. First is recycling. New recycling schedule. Every other week is that schedule. It is working great. Most of the residents are ready or are already seeing the benefits of this change. So kudos to DPW for stepping up for that. Brush pickup. Next town-wide, zone-by-zone brush pickup will be starting on the following Mondays. We have Zone 1. Monday, May 29th. We have Zone 4, Monday, June 5th. We have Zone 2, Monday, June 12th. And Zone 3 will be Monday, June 19th. DPW will do one pass through each zone, and all material must be out by 7:30 a.m. on Monday morning of the scheduled zone pickup. Borough Hall, over the winter and ongoing, the DPW members and electrical and HVAC contractors have been working on upgrades, repairs, and servicing to the building. More work is scheduled to the electrical and HVAC shortly. Please refer to our borough calendar for all DPW information. Not much to add to really many of the other ones. Open space, we did not have a meeting.
Yep.
Right, so nothing added there. One thing I want to touch on real briefly is just an email that the council received earlier today. It was actually from Senator Declan O'Scallon. The reason why I want to touch on this, I think it ties into financial. This was actually a fantastic piece of legislation that the Senate has brought forward. Recently introducing legislation S-3906. This legislation would provide $4.32 billion of what they call Give It Back, that's the name of the program, property tax relief to every town in the county in New Jersey. Under the plan, Atlantic Highlands would receive $1.42 million. That could be used to retire debt or fund capital projects for the town's choosing on a pay-as-you-go basis. With that being said, the senator is asking for support. Anybody who's interested in supporting this legislature, they are asking that you reach out to Governor Murphy, Senate President, and Assembly Speaker. At this point, I would also like to ask if the council is okay if we can have our borough administrator provide a letter from their governing body in support of this legislation.
I think it's a great idea. I've only skimmed the legislation in full transparency, but what I've read, it's a phenomenal thing. It's great for the town. So I would second that notion,
yeah,
of forwarding that through and getting our share.
I'll happily write the letter if that's the wish, okay, of the governing body.
We need a resolution. So
we need
a motion and a second.
So we would create the resolution.
We'll do it at the next council meeting.
If it's time sensitive, yes.
Is it time sensitive?
I don't know.
Do we know? Because I have not read about this.
I got an email from Declan earlier today.
We just got this email.
So in the next week, we can all take time to go look at it.
And consider it the next meeting.
Yeah, consider it the next meeting.
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you. That's it for me, Mayor.
Okay. And with that, because we okay, I was gonna do.
Oh, did it?
Okay. Because of how the meeting went so far, I would like to offer the council a resolution for a 5-minute limit.
Five minute limit.
For comments and questions, like ever, the whole meeting,
yes, or can the, yes, person come up 5 minutes and then each time?
I think what the mayor is thinking about, because she just mentioned it to me, would be for each period of public comment, whether it's an ordinance, the initial public comment section, or the last public comment section, that each person would then be restricted to 5 minutes each.
I mean, I would love to have public comments on that before we were to vote on it.
Me too.
Ironically, yes.
Council prior to this meeting, or is this just coming up now?
She just asked me about it right now, and I said she needed
because
a
resolution. Because I see there was an issue. I mean, I've seen that people were upset about it, so
yeah,
that's why I'm bringing it up now.
I mean, there definitely were sighs out there today when, mm-hmm, people spoke longer than that, but I would love to hear public comment on it. I think if we're more clear in what we're presenting to the public, like if we're saying that you can speak as many times as you want, as long as each time you speak, you're limited to 5 minutes, just so that everybody is heard and we're not repetitive, that if the public is cool with that, then I'd like to hear them say that, but I wouldn't be ready to vote on it until I heard public comment.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now, the administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few items here. On Monday, May 15th, the U.S. flags were lowered to half-staff from sunrise to sunset per President Biden in honor of peace officers, Memorial Day, and Police Week. We were informed by New Jersey Natural Gas that in advance of the actual planting work, their vegetation restoration contractor would be installing a temporary goose exclusion fence on May 19th along the creek bank at the recent remediation projects area between Highland Avenue and Center Avenue due to decrease the mortality of young plants. On May 17th, I attended the Central Jersey Health Insurance Fund monthly meeting. On May 18th, the Borough of Atlantic Highlands organized and hosted a tri-borough regionalization meeting held at the Hess Center. I'd like to thank the boroughs of Highlands and Seabright, as well as everyone who attended and helped to organize that meeting. On May 23rd, I attended the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners annual summer kickoff press conference at the North End Pavilion on the Spring Lake Boardwalk. Their liaison to the Department of Public Information and Tourism spoke about the importance of the tourism industry for all Monmouth County municipalities. U.S. flags will go up on Sunday evening on the flagpoles located on State Highway 36, Memorial Parkway, Center Median. Reminder that the annual Memorial Day Parade will take place on Monday. Lineup, I believe, is 10 a.m. Parade, I believe, starts at 11.
The next council meeting will take place on Thursday, June 8th at 7 p.m. And the only item I have left is I want to thank, I know this, the mayor already said this earlier, but I want to thank Beth Merkel for jumping in to cover for our clerk this evening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Beth. Michelle owes you something.
I'm sure Michelle appreciates it.
Mr. Ferragina, real quick.
Yes.
Are borough employees putting the flags up on Memorial Parkway?
Yes.
But we don't maintain that property.
We do not own, nor do we maintain the center median.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Romeyer?
No report tonight, ma'am, unless there's any specific engineering questions.
Okay, so let's move on to
hold on. I actually have a report for the change.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Sorry.
Ms. Smith is going to be pleased with this, I think. I've decided to return this to Mr. Weinsdorf. It's never moved out of my hand. I'm giving it to him, and if he wants to give it to you, he's welcome to. I still haven't been able to determine. I'll give it to you after the meeting, sir. I still haven't been able to determine exactly what it is. I've got a title search. We're still looking at it, but I'm returning it for now because you asked for a copy of it, but I'm not going to give it to you as a public record. I'm going to give it to him, and he can give it to you. I also received a response. I know Mr. Fisher asked about the South Avenue Park Natural Gas Company issue as to whether or not they were willing to pay us more money since it cost us more money, and I did get a response saying, no, thank you. So we tried. I don't believe that you have a legal basis to ask for it unless council directs me to figure out something else. The only other thing is my office is handling 4 tax appeals. Hopefully we'll settle them, but I'm not going to tell you anything about the details. And we drafted the ordinances that were up for review tonight. That's my report.
All right. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. And now we're moving on to public comment. Yes.
Ellen O'Meara, 81 East Lincoln Avenue, Vice Commander of American Legion Post 141, which is hosting the parade. Thank you for all the information that you shared about the parade. The step off is at 11. The rallying at the harbor will be at 10:30. If you can come earlier, that's fine. We have lots of people in the parade. We've got veterans and their families and their children and grandchildren. We have the Henry Hudson Band, the elementary school band, Girl Scouts, EMS, Fire Department, First Aid, mass students, sports teams, varied groups and teams. They're all rallying to join us in a real community parade. So thank you for that. Anybody interested in marching in the parade, let us know that you're coming. You can certainly show up that day, but it's helpful if you let us know that you're going to be there. You can call me directly. This is my phone number. I might be a little afraid to give it out, but I'm going to give it to you. 732-439-0123. And if anybody wishes to attend that has mobility issues or needs a ride, please call me and we'll make the arrangements for you from the American Legion to get you there. There will be, most importantly, a ceremony to honor the fallen. Mr. Doherty will be singing for us. And that'll be at Veterans Park at the end of the parade, approximately 11:55. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect. Paul Barbado, 22 Laurie Road, sometimes AKA Lousy Road. the last meeting we had, I requested from the Congress committee that when I get committee over, I got some legal fees, and you said possibly you would have some forms.
I don't think we've received that yet. Have we, Rob?
I haven't received that.
No, we did ask.
Okay, so maybe in the next council meeting. And I wanted to know the start date that you're using, because there have been several lawyers. Attorney fees and all, and several different lawyers. So I wanted to know what starting date that they're going to put in for the invoices for the fees. And if, since the regionalization has now been approved to go forward, still retain these lawyers.
So,
the process.
So yes, the answer is yes, because regionalization hasn't been approved. What has been approved is the formal request by the three municipalities to have it on the ballot.
Right.
So it's still ongoing.
Right. Okay, so then the invoices will continue on a monthly basis? Is that when they...
Well, it depends on what services are asked for at any given time by the law firms. So it varies.
Okay. concern, so, but I'll be still requesting the for the total that to come. The other thing I wanted to share was...
So if I could just interject, I would ask our borough attorney to weigh in on this, but I believe if you want actual invoices, because they are borough documents...
No, I don't want the invoice, I just want the amount. The amount, the total amount that you have, that they put in. So I can compare your amounts with my totals.
And actually, Mr. Ferragina, what we will give him are invoices redacted as appropriate, but we're not going to sit and total them because that's outside the OPA. We don't have to
do the math.
That's something we'll provide you with the invoices, okay. And you can do the math.
Yeah, and then I'll do the math. Okay, that's as long as I get something so I can compare the borough's figures with my figures too at this point in time. And situation with the telephone pole, Mr. Ferragina, we've been emailing and I've been emailing you those updates.
Yep. I received them.
Okay, so I got it all kind of worked out, and they're going to replace that telephone pole possibly in a month or so.
Yep.
So hopefully there'll be no monkey wrenches or anything. Go forward. I've been getting my electricity has been going on and off for the last 2 months.
Yeah. So you did the right thing by contacting the utility company, and they normally before they come out, they'll inform the municipality to let us know that they're on their way to do some work in the municipality. So,
okay. And I appreciate that, and it should be taken care of. But there are still two issues that I'll bring up at another time. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Leinster.
So you approved the question for the ballot for the regionalization. Could someone explain to me the logic behind the 85-15 split? I mean, up to now, haven't we just paid our school taxes on the basis of assessed valuation? Every town, I know it's not exactly true, Atlantic Highlands is 120% of Highlands' valuation, I think. But we're only paying 110% of the regional school. So, but I know why that is. That's because of some special thing. But generally, are the school taxes just on assessed valuation? And if there's a regionalization just between Highlands and Atlantic Highlands, it's going to be on assessed valuation, right?
So. Yeah. Right. So that's
right.
So,
but if Seabright comes in, now it's 85-15, right? Right. I mean, is it that?
50. So I would say that one of the reasons why the three municipalities got together, and had our financial experts and special counsels there was to answer these specific questions. So. If you have a specific question,
I thought it would go on by the time I got there.
Right. So I would recommend if you have a specific question, we would rather have the financial expert or special counsel answer the question.
Right.
That's correct. But it's a very complicated matter.
Oh, okay.
As the financial expert explained and presented that evening.
Can I have his email or can
you
ask him to email?
If you send me an email, I'll be more than happy to forward it to him.
Okay.
But his name is Bob Benneke.
Okay.
From Benneke Economics,
okay.
and I'd be more than happy to forward it to him.
Okay, I'll send you the email. I don't understand the logic. I mean, I'm not asking for details. I just want to know the logic why, with the addition of Seabright, is the formula 85-15 when it's just with Highlands, it's straight assessed valuation. I mean, you guys voted on it. You wasn't going to explain on what's the logic.
Once again, Mr. Ferragina will...
Okay, I'll ask the expert. Yes. That's good. That's good enough for me for now. Does the firemen, do they need a party permit to do the 4th of July?
Especially special events, I'm sure.
Yeah. Is there a special events permit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct.
And so they do the whole thing in insurance. Do they reimburse for the police? Or is that donated?
I'd have to look into that, but I don't believe so. But I'd have to look into it.
I believe the answer is actually for security. The police officer that is doing security around the beer garden mm-hmm. is compensated.
At the beer garden?
Yes. Yes.
For the entire event, no, but at the beer garden, yes, because it falls under security, right?
Correct. Right.
Not traditional police.
That's if we can explain that to the security versus the rest. I'm glad you passed the film permit. I think it should spawn. And I guess you're giving me the duty back. So I guess what I'm saying, you took a walk on Sandy Hook and you're doing some kind of television or film on Sandy Hook with huge trailers, unbelievable amounts of equipment, generators, lights, screens. I do not know what they were doing, but I wondered, do they pay a fee to use Sandy Hook?
It's
federal property.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I meant to call, but I didn't have time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Pointing it.
For IP 2017, I find it odd in the budget that we had a $562,000 windfall, and we're still raising taxes by $560,000. So now we got that increase, we got a school tax increase this year. I mean, times are tough. We've got to be more careful about people who can't afford it. Those at least among us who can least afford it among us. I know you feel that way. I don't know how you're going to vote on this budget. You may have different reasons this year, but anyway, it is what it is. I wanted to mention Memorial Day. As I get older, it means more and more to me. Because I start to think about the people I knew who aren't here and all the things I've had, the good and the bad, and the life I've had to live. And it makes me think about the real sacrifice that they made. I think of people like Manny Rivera, New York City native, like myself, went to the same high school as Harry Pyle, who died in the Gulf War. I think of Bobby Bianchi, a friend he was partying with. He said 6 months later, he was gone. His brother, another 6 months later. Dale Elsie, Dan Hayward, people, guys that helped me train, get my ratings, my instrument rating, my pilot's license, and my carrier qualifications. And guys like Will McCool, my classmate, who died in the show. You realize years go by. When you're young, you don't really get it. So this Memorial Day, I know everybody's going to take that time. But I think for a lot of us, it just means a little more. And I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Jim.
Steve, you need Willie?
Yeah, here's my classmate. James Graff, 77 Bayside Drive. That's precinct, and I'm going to try to keep it under 5 minutes. I'll start with that. I think if you go to that rule, I think Council President's whole enlightenment's idea about letting people come back.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think if they speak and then they hear somebody else make a point that they would have made, that they do not come back and have to talk again. That's number one. Number two, I know I'm here working on films, but I did reserve the right. I said that I wasn't sure where I stood. After I listened to more, I think you made a wise decision to get something in place and then change it. So we do have some restrictions. Personally, I think in the long run, trying to avoid the kind of scene that Josh just explained with lots of equipment, lots of people, try to focus more on the smaller productions that Councilman Crowley has been involved in. I'm not sure how you do that. I know in the harbor, when that $500 fee was put in, the harbor at least had some leeway that it could find reasons to turn things down. There was a small production that wanted to do something on the dock off season with chemicals on the dock, and we said, no, go to the DP first before they never showed up again. And then I think I'm doing okay.
No, I'm doing great.
So if there's a way to try to you know, squeeze it down to smaller productions that actually do use our restaurants and don't create a lot of disruption. That's the way to go. Third is, I see on the executive session you have talking about fire apparatus. Mm-hmm. I want to say this very cautiously because I have a lot of respect for all the fire department, women's auxiliary, all the contributions that they make, getting up at 3 a.m. to put out fireplace fires and things like that. But they raise a lot of money in town. And I think they owe it to the people that make the contributions and spend a lot of money in farmers' fair, et cetera, that they disclose what they raise, what they're spending the money on, and if they have the funds available, that they help pay for the fire truck that they're proposing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Leonard Avenue. Thanks, Mr. Safe, for giving this paper back to him. I don't think, maybe he did do it for me, but I think that he also asked to have it back himself, so I'm glad he got it back, and I will ask for it. You know that on the Department of Public Works, and their yard is just outstanding.
Isn't it?
The new office down there, it's inviting, it's attractive, it's, and it was just so well done,
mm-hmm.
and it's so well done for the future, too. I mean, he's got plans even for the putting plants out front, and mm-hmm. he's going to recycle the plants out front. So I just don't think they always get enough credit. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. They can help get it from new people, but people don't realize how terrific this public works mm-hmm. department is, just like our police department. I just wanted to ask Mr. Crowley, because we communicated about this, and I know I caught you at a bad time and you weren't able to give me a full answer, but can you tell me now why you did abstain on the regionalization vote the other night?
As I communicated to you, I'll have other things to say in a later time about it, but not tonight. It's been a long night, so I will communicate.
I'm happy to wait if you've got an answer.
Miss Smith,
we spent an hour on video. Spend time on regionalization.
Councilman, that's one of those questions that is protected by the deliberative process privilege. He does not have to explain why. He does not have to explain why he abstained. He's welcome to if he wants to, but he has no obligation to, and it's part of the privilege that members of the council have about their deliberative process and why they do what they do. Can you hear me? Okay, sorry. So it's up.
Yeah,
I'll
communicate. Yeah, they're thinking behind things. That's a scary thing. Yeah. That is scary.
It's the way our law works. Because they work as a body, and you hear what they have to say here, but their individual thought processes are not subject to public scrutiny.
I'm going to have to listen. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to listen to the recording because I think my hearing is getting worse as the night goes on, to tell you the truth. Because that and people are talking softer. You did abstain tonight, and again, because I didn't hear it correctly. You did abstain from the vote on the filming tonight?
Yes.
And you voted for it, Ms. Cusick? Okay. Okay, I just wanted to be sure I was right on that. The only thing I wanted to ask about is this 5-minute thing that mm-hmm. you talked about. Is that going to be by ordinance?
No, it's a resolution. It's a resolution.
By resolution?
Mm-hmm.
But you tried it by ordinance once before.
No, it was always resolution.
That wasn't an ordinance that you tried to put through? Mm-mm.
No.
Okay.
It's a resolution.
So you want a resolution
mm-hmm.
for 5 minutes mm-hmm. for it? You explain that.
For comments?
Uh-huh.
The first part, the comments, and then the other public comment. Okay. 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes is quite a bit of time, you know, if you have, you know, collected your thoughts and move forward.
Well, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
As you evidenced tonight, I stood up here while three
people
were
talking. That's...
Does that count against my 5 minutes when somebody else is talking?
No.
So there's going to be a timekeeper up here then?
Yeah, there will be.
If this goes through?
I hope so.
And you want it for every meeting, not, it wasn't just because we're...
Well, the council meeting, council meetings, I can't say what other, you know...
Is that your intention? Can I ask if that was her intention?
Yes, just for the council meetings, yes. I proceed over this meeting, so yes, this meeting, yes.
For every meeting or just tonight's meeting?
All council meetings.
For all meetings?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Thank you, Pam, I appreciate it.
Sure. Anyone, Zoom?
One hand raised, Mayor. I'll bring over the Mr. Fisher.
Okay.
Mark Fisher, 91 Third Avenue. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, I'm against any restriction on speaking time at any mayor and council meeting. But I will repeat that comment when and if the resolution is introduced. Question for Councilman Dougherty. EV chargers, we haven't heard anything on EV chargers in a while.
Yeah. Progress? Yes, there has been progress, Mark. Thank you for asking about that. We received an extension on our grant monies from the New Jersey Bureau of Public Utilities through 2024. So given the current fiscal state of looking to pass a budget, and given our extension that we would not be losing the monies that we have access to, the grant monies that we have access to through the BPU, we have, to borrow a popular word from tonight, tabled this topic, albeit briefly. It remains a priority for the Environmental Commission. It's certainly a priority for myself. And we are going to be looking to get those hopefully approved and installed as quickly as possible, but we are not under the same time or calendar restraints that we were originally. So that's why they're on pause for a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
A couple of meetings back, you approved the fingerprinting and background check ordinance. There was discussion about amendments, and they were, two ones were that the borough would cover the cost, and another one was if OSSEP, the sailing program, could be basically compelled to also follow the same rules that the rest of the youth sports organizations in town would have to follow. Has any, there been any progress on either one of those?
Well, in terms of who pays for, I believe we left off that the municipality would, but it's open that in a particular situation, if the municipality didn't want to pay for it, they could request for the entity at hand to pay for it themselves. In terms of the scope of what groups this applies to or not, I believe that they makes it clear in the document, I think, that any borough employee engaged in any program, full-time, part-time, seasonal, etc., with youth would be required to go through this process.
Or volunteers.
Or volunteers, I'm sorry. That's right. Employees and volunteers.
Right, but the OSSEP program is not a borough-sponsored program. It's a private concern, but it's still teaching the same borough children. So the question was, would the OSSEP program be asked basically to follow the ordinance voluntarily, or could they be compelled to also follow the ordinance?
I don't believe so. I'd have to ask Ms. Fisher, Schaefer, to please look into that.
Or Ms. Fisher,
either one. I'd have to ask the borough attorney to look into that a little bit more, but I don't believe it would apply because it's outside of the realm of a borough organization, a borough club. It's a private entity, but we could look into that further.
Understood, but it would be consistency, right? So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you, Ms. Schaefer, for getting back to us on the South Avenue Park question. Obviously, I disagree that the borough now has to pick up the extra cost to reconstruct that park. So my next question is, in the 2023 budget, has monies been put aside in a line item to supplement the cost of reconstructing the South Avenue Park?
Not specifically as a line item, as you're indicating, to my knowledge, but there are monies that we could allocate from the budget for that effort if we needed to, or if we were directed to.
Okay, and obviously it's unfair to the borough that because of the New Jersey natural gas pollution problem and them having to dismantle that fully functional park, that it's now going to cost the taxpayers a certain percentage, probably 20% at least, to reconstruct that park, even to put back what was there before it was demolished. I'll move on. Any progress on cannabis?
Well, how do you define progress? The cannabis committee's met a couple times, newly reconstituted, and there is work being done to source experts that are scientifically accurate and medically accurate to do a presentation to the municipality offsite, because we think there'll be a lot more interest than the fire marshal would want us to be in here. So that's in the works. Any suggestions are welcome from members of the community, but they'll be vetted so that we're not, we're looking for facts and accurate information.
Okay, thank you. Any progress on the towboat building? Any status update?
The Harbor Commission is going to be meeting an executive session on Tuesday night to discuss next steps with the towboat building, and we also to receive an update from our attorney on litigation.
Okay, great, thank you. In the 2023 budget, I see the $700,000 maintained from 2022 into 2023. That's the contribution from the Harbor Authority to the general fund of the borough. Last year, it was determined that $1.1 million was the figure. So where does that other $400,000 come from?
Shared services.
Okay, and will $1.1 million be the same for 2023?
So as mentioned during the budget presentation, one of the challenges that the harbor is going to have this year in maintaining budget over prior year is whether or not a lot of it's going to depend on gas. So I can't give you an answer at this moment, but the Harbor Commission is committed to giving the maximum amount that they can.
Okay. Anything new on Mother Teresa?
Maybe.
Not that we can discuss.
You cut out a little. I think you said maybe.
We're going into executive session.
This evening.
Okay. I'll leave it at that. In my rounds of the town this morning, I drove by McConnell Denholtz property, and I saw some very curious things. Two things, actually. One of the dirt piles was covered with plastic, and there was an environmental firm box truck on the property with three workers. As I drove down Avenue D toward the water, there was a very, very obvious hydrocarbon smell coming off of that property. So I would suggest that Mr. Ferragina start asking some questions, because this is what I feared back during the planning board discussions back in 2019. And now that they're disturbing the ground, things are starting to show up. So I would suggest highly that those questions be asked. The streamers on the creek between Highland Avenue and South Avenue. What was the reasons for that? It looks like a circus down there.
Okay. So New Jersey Natural Gas had informed us that in advance of the actual planting work, their vegetation restoration contractor would be installing a temporary goose exclusion fence, which I believe they did on the 19th, along the creek bank at the recent remediation project between Highland and Center Ave's. The purpose is to decrease the mortality of the young plants.
Okay, I don't know how soil streamers hung over the creek bed do that, but it was very surprising to see what they installed there. The only other time I've seen that done is up at Newark Airport to keep the seagulls off of the fields around the entry roads.
Yeah, they did.
But I'll keep going. There was mention of a new ambulance discussion at the last meeting. Did that meeting take place?
A meeting between who?
I don't know. There was supposed to be a meeting to discuss purchase of a new ambulance.
There's been no formal meeting with the governing body.
No, Mr. Huben said he was postponing. The
due to finding more
together some quotes.
Mr. Chief Huberty has postponed that meeting due to looking for further information necessary.
Okay, thank you for that. And then the last comment for the recording of the special meeting where the vote of three towns is posted on the website. Mr. Leinsdorf wants to hear the financials specialist conversation. That's all I have. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Okay, so we have to go into executive session, so I need a motion.
I'll move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
No formal action will be taken. Approximately 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Can we have 5 minutes for a little?
May I have a motion and a second to come out of executive session?
Friendly moves.
Murphy, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
May I have a motion and a second to adjourn?
Doherty moves.
Friendly seconds.
All in favor?
Aye. Good night, all.
Good night.